It is Super Saturday here in Massachusetts, and today here on MSO News Sports, we have the MIAA Division 3A Super Bowl from Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. It's St. Mary's of Lynn versus East Bridgewater. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Newell, along with Tim Kearns and John Squires from Gillette Stadium today. Bright blue sky overhead. In fact, it's so early this morning, there are shadows out on the field. We're waiting for the sun to really come up over the stands here, but some of the stands are splashed in sun, but right at midfield and all the way down on each side of the field, it's all in shade here so far this morning. But both teams are warming up. And gentlemen, let's just talk a little bit about today's game. We've got a team in East Bridgewater, 10 wins, 2 losses. They lost on Thanksgiving when they sat their starters in, you know, preparing for the Super Bowl. They had the extra playoff game, so to speak, while St. Mary's, like Beverly, had a bye. But, Tim, what do you look at the keys of this game here today?
Well, as you know, we discussed just before we came on the game, John mentioned, you know, each team has to settle in. And they have to get over the mystique of playing in Gillette and focus on the field that they're playing on. It's a beautiful venue. It's a great opportunity for them. But I think they have to get rid of the nerves very, very early. And I think the defenses have to show themselves first. Both are very talented offensively, but the team that can step up and take away some of the strengths of their opponent is going to be the team that comes out on the end.
John?
Well, you know, I'm looking down at St. Mary's warming up in front of us, and I'm a little concerned about Abraham Toe. I know he's recuperating from an injury, and I'm watching him run a couple plays. And a key is going to be the health of both teams. I think it's very important that you have your best players playing in the biggest game, in the biggest venue, as Timmy was talking about here. So I think that's going to be very important. I'm also noticing a win factor a little bit here. Usually at down here at Gillette, win one end of the tunnel or one way or the other, and I do see the sun breaking down up to the 50-yard line. It's 40 degrees. It should be very interesting, and Timmy mentioned a very good point. Both teams have to settle in, realize they're playing a typical football game, just like any other Saturday, and go for all they have.
You know, one of the things that you mentioned Toe's injury in talking to Matt Durgan and me here at the stadium on media day, that was his one concern, was how ready to go Toe was going to be, because he is, again, and they have a multi-headed dragon down there with the St. Mary's offense. They have so many quality backs, but Toe has been one of the mainstays over the last 2 years. And certainly you expect everybody to step up and to be the next man up and do what they need to do to help the team be successful on this last game of the season. And for a lot of these kids, guys, this is the last game that they're ever going to play in organized football. They're not going to play in college for one reason or another. So this is the final game, and you want to walk away with that memory of walking out of Gillette with the trophy.
Well, we'll step aside here. We've got Coach Matt Durgan from St. Mary's Football coming up with us, and we have the kickoff as well. Right now, East Bridgewater has gone off to the locker room while St. Mary's still continues to warm up, running some offensive plays down and on the field here at Gillette Stadium. We're just moments away from the kickoff here from Gillette Stadium here on MSONewsSports.com.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Looking for a reliable place to produce your team's uniforms or your business's corporate apparel? Then Sarkisian Sportswear is the place for you. Conveniently located on Route 1 South in Peabody, Mass., Sarkisian Sportswear handles all aspects of your needs, from price quoting to providing visual proofs to production completion. Visit our website, SarkisianSports.com, to view our monthly specials, vendor catalogs, and to request a quote. Remember, Sarkisian Sportswear is the place to go.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat. Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
This game is brought to you by the Institution for Savings, your local community bank since 1821, with great rates, great service, and great people. Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years with quality products and service, located in Lynn and at harringtontrophy.com. Moynihan Lumber, of Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire. The Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. The Daily Item of Lynn and itemlive.com. Click on their banner on our website to access their respective news and sports coverage.
This is MSO News Sports. We're joined by Matt Durgan, headed to the Super Bowl against East Bridgewater Saturday morning at 9. And Matt, is East Bridgewater the best team you faced all year?
Yes, probably. They're very balanced on offense. They like to spread you out. They'll run it. They'll throw it well, and they run some option run and pass off of it. So, and on defense, they're very aggressive, and they have good team speed.
What about size-wise? How do they stack up against your opponents that you played this year size-wise and quickness, I suppose?
They have good size up front. They're well-coached offensive line, the D-lines, but they have some thickness to them. But most important, I mean, the teams want speed, and they have it.
Yeah, they have speed. Now, you guys kind of, you know, undefeated right now. You went through the schedule, you went through the postseason, and you went through Thanksgiving. You went against Bishop Fenwick on Thanksgiving and so on. So, and they're all W's. So, you know, put that into context.
We try to break it down week to week, next game, and we're not really looking back, and we talk about this, and we say at the end of the year, that'll be the time to look back and enjoy, you know, what they've accomplished. But we want them to have a good time down at Gillette and soak it all in, not get overwhelmed.
So you guys were there 5 years ago, so you kind of know the drill, right?
But we weren't at Gillette. We went to Curry College, and
we were there that day. Yeah.
Absolutely, were, and yeah. we didn't get the outcome we wanted then. But again, our kids played well against a good Abington team.
And I guess that it is nice to be able to rotate, and so at least you're back. You know, you get to play on that field, and I know you as a coach, I'm sure it is special, and as for players, I think it's incredibly special.
It's incredibly special because you get to play where, I mean, the Patriots are so successful. Most of these kids' heroes for football play on the Patriots. And so it's a great opportunity, and they deserve it. They worked hard, and they won 11 games. So they've earned their way there, but now we have to earn a victory.
That would be opposed to playing at Schaefer Stadium, right, in the old days. Schaefer, it wouldn't have been as big a deal.
No, it would be a little bit colder and raw just looking at it.
All right, Coach, last question, really, and that would be injuries. I mean, you have some injuries. Where are we at right now looking at the game?
Well, this time of year when you're still playing, people are banged up, are getting through it. Abraham will go. He's been practicing all week. So, you know, we're as healthy as you can possibly be.
All right, Coach, good talking with you. Good luck Saturday.
Bill, good talking with you. See you down there. Thanks for everything you've done for us all year.
Matt Durgan, head football coach at St. Mary's, with us here on MSO News Sports.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
The Lynn Museum, located at 590 Washington Street in the heart of Lynn's emerging downtown cultural district, offers a unique perspective on history as told through the experiences of one of America's most consequential cities. Come this fall and see our newest exhibits, Industry and Craft, People at Work in Lynn, and Collecting for the Objects of Lynn. We're open Tuesdays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturdays, 9 to 1 p.m., or online at lynnmuseum.org.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Team up with The Daily Item at itemlive.com, your community information connection. The Daily Item features colorful, timely stories highlighting the North Shore. The new look page focuses on people, places, and things. The Item is presenting news in a user-friendly format. Don't miss any local news or reading features on your neighbors. Check out The Item today. It's all new every day. For home delivery, call 781-593-7700 or go to itemlive.com. Honey News, seasonal favorites are finally here. Nothing says fall more on a crisp, cool morning than a hot pumpkin spice or maple cream coffee. Complement these coffee flavors with a tasty pumpkin muffin, deliciously sweet cranberry apple stick, or a freshly baked tart apple cider donut. Visit our locally owned and operated Honeydew Donut Shops located on the Linway and Western Avenue in Lynn, Eastern Avenue in Malden, Canal Street in Salem, and Meridian Street in East Boston. And experience Honeydew's flavors of the fall today. MSONewsSports.com, MSO Radio.
This is the first of two games here on MSO News Sports. Coming up later on this afternoon at 3:30, Marblehead takes on Falmouth in the Division 2A Super Bowl game. Do check out our posts today on the website. They have all the video features that we did during the week, radio interview with Jim Rudloff, head football coach at Marblehead. And, of course, if you've clicked on our post here today, we've got the radio interview with Coach Durgan and also the videos with some of the players and Coach Durgan from earlier this week. And our broadcast here coming up in just a few moments, we'll have the kickoff of the East Bridgewater-St. Mary's game. In Lynn today at Manning Field in Lynn, it's the Division I Super Bowl game, Everett versus Zavarian at 1 o'clock. The rest of the games here at Gillette at 11, D3, Grafton Hanover, D4A at noon. It is Mills and Hopedale versus Maynard, and then at 1:30, Wacona Mashpee. That's here at Gillette Sullivan. Whoops, what a slip. In D2 tonight at 6, Duxbury Shrewsbury, and 1A, it's King Philip and Reading tonight at 8 o'clock. Both teams are now lined up on the goal lines. We have St. Mary's to the near end here. We're at one end of the stadium, kind of the closed end of the stadium, and East Bridgewater at the far end, the open end of the stadium, where the scoreboard is on the far end. Actually, the scoreboard's on each side here. And we're getting ready for today's game. Check out MSO News Sports each day for a local North Shore radio newscast in our North Shore Today Post. Daily news and photos every day here on MSONewsSports.com. Bill Newell, Tim Kearns, John Squires with you here. We talked about the keys of the game. Looking at the St. Mary's roster, guys, you got quarterback Marcus Atkins, 6'1", 180. That's good size. Senior quarterback for Coach Matt Durgan, solid. You've got a running back, Calvin Johnson, 6'1", 180, a junior. Then Abraham Toe, more diminutive, but he's had a great year, 5'5", 150. And he's a senior, and we're concerned about his injury as to how that will impact him today. But you look at the rest of the St. Mary's team, and they have size. They have size on the offensive line. They have size on the defensive line as well. They have a big tight end in Patrick Henry, a sophomore, 6'3", 260. And they also have Matt Cross. It'll be an interesting player to watch today. He's a freshman, 6'7", 215 pounds. So we'll keep an eye on him as well on each side of the football for St. Mary's High School. As we were mentioning earlier, East Bridgewater, no stranger to this game. They lost by 2 points last year. They've had a great year. They did not play their starters on Thanksgiving. They come in at 10-2, and St. Mary's 11-0. So they have a history, does East Bridgewater, of success. They're the Vikings, and they have the spread offense. St. Mary's much tighter. But as we've talked about before, John, with St. Mary's, they'll pop a pass now and then, and I think they're going to need to do that today.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to open it up a little bit, Billy. But then again, you're looking down at the field. I think they have a size advantage here. I think that's a real good point. I'm looking at East Bridgewater, even though they got a lot of numbers, and looking at both rosters, it looks like they have a size advantage, and that's going to be a key to their running game with Toe and in the backfield with Johnson. And here again, it's going to be very important to see if they can establish a running game early in this contest.
All right, we're going to step aside quickly here, and then we have the kickoff today between East Bridgewater and St. Mary's in the Division 3A Super Bowl game from Gillette.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
The Bradford Tavern Restaurant in Raleigh is unique, with modern touches in a rustic setting offering the finest steaks, freshest seafood, and many quality daily specials. Serving lunch and dinner, the Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week. The restaurant features two separate function rooms, ideal for every need, including business meetings, bridal and baby showers, or any special event. The Bradford Tavern is located at 87 Haverhill Street, Route 133 in Raleigh, and online at bradfordtavern.com. We hope to see you soon at the Bradford Tavern. The Institution for Savings has always believed in giving back to our communities, because our communities are such great places to live and work. Last year alone, we donated and pledged more than $3.9 million to local nonprofits, including local hospitals, schools, food pantries, art organizations, and more. Named one of Boston Business Journal's top philanthropic companies, we are proud to be your local hometown bank. InstitutionForSavings.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
If you are interested in replacing your home's kitchen cabinets, please see the kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of Moynihan Lumber's three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Madruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trust, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
This game is brought to you in part by the Gloucester House Restaurant, offering the freshest seafood right off their boats to your plate. Sarkisian Sportswear, delivering quality team and corporate apparel, located on Route 1 South in Peabody, and at SarkisianSports.com. Lynn Museum, Lynn Arts, preserving Lynn's past and promoting Lynn's future at 590 Washington Street. Columbia Insurance of Lynn, offering auto, home, condo, renters, and business insurance, delivering complete peace of mind. Attorney Robert J. Madruga, see Bob for estate planning and tax preparation. Gloria Food Store, Rantoul Street, Beverly. Honeydew Donuts of Lynn, Salem, Malden, and East Boston.
Welcome back to Gillette Stadium. Bill Newell, Tim Kearns, John Squires. And it looks like St. Mary's will be receiving today's kickoff. And Abraham Toe is back deep here at the near end of the stadium to receive the kickoff against East Bridgewater, which has not come out on the field yet. They're huddling on the sidelines. And now St. Mary's comes back to huddle as well. Might have another minute or two before kickoff. Tim, the size here.
Well, you know, Paul Ingram's team's never had tremendous size on the offensive line, running the wing T. And what he relied upon was again disciplined execution, especially your guards getting into the hips and the knees of the defensive linemen quickly, and that really negates the size. If you can get them turned in the direction you want to do that, beat them to the point of contact so that they can't overwhelm you. Get them, stay low, get them turned, get their hips turned, that your running back has a chance to come up and to cut in a hole that you've created for them. And with the kind of speed that St. Mary's backs possess, I think that's where they can exploit the advantage.
But this is a team that has some, that we talk about size, but Tim, good point. Size isn't everything. Quickness and speed is another factor which East Bridgewater will bring to the table here this morning. Running back Pat Snow, 6'1", 180. He's the real deal for this East Bridgewater team. And their quarterback, Liam Levangie, just a sophomore, but he throws the ball very well to a number of receivers, including their league co-player of the year, Greg Plunkett, a senior end, 6'1", 180, who has a grade point average of, 4.2 something or other. So he's a sharp kid.
Yeah, Billy. And the other thing, too, is that speed always kills. So Coach Durgan mentioned in the interview where I was listening to him earlier before is that he's concerned with East Bridgewater's speed. East Bridgewater has that tradition, but here again, size is does not negate necessarily speed. If you can get to the outside and you have a lot of speed, we can see some points put on the board today. So it'll be interesting to see how defensively St. Mary's adapts to East Bridgewater's offense.
You know, and Judd, to that point, we know that both teams have effective running games, multi-headed, multi-talented players in the backfield. How well the offensive lines are able to execute today are going to be key to these guys getting those points. So it's going to be the guys who don't get the press. Even in the pro level, they talk about the offensive defensive lines of how important they are to the success of any running back or quarterback. You get the time to throw, you're going to be able to hit your receivers. You got guys that can open up the holes, you're going to gain yards on the ground, no matter who you are as a running back. You know, Uri and Bill can go out there and gain 100 yards if we got a guy creating craters for us like the gap at the end of the stadium we're looking at.
That might be a stretch, but to that point, Matt Durgan had me talk with Cam Sakowicz this week, a tackle, 6'4", 230 pounds, as well as quarterback Marcus Atkins. And those, you know, that offensive line for St. Mary's, Brendan Donahue, senior, Fred Blaze, Kyle Bernardini, senior, junior, respectively, Liam Reddy and Cam Sakowicz. Those are guys are the workhorses. Liam Reddy's had a great year for St. Mary's as well. We talked to him earlier this year on the website. So you're right about you got size and speed. So in a perfect world, you have both. But we'll see. This is high school football, and nothing's perfect.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other thing, too, is as Timmy was talking about, many times the team that wins a game is the team that wins it in the trenches. So we can talk about speed all the time and so forth, but whoever controls the offensive and defensive line most of the time wins the football game.
Yep.
Now, you know, one thing here. Oh, go ahead, Tim.
No, go.
Well, I was just going to say, St. Mary's came down here yesterday. You might have seen the video on our website with the bus departing just after noontime from Lynn to head down here. They practiced at Walpole High School yesterday afternoon, stayed overnight in the area. But Tim, we did not get put up down here. We came down this morning down here to Foxborough.
Oh, I think we need to speak to the man from Gloucester. He'll be here this afternoon, and maybe we can bring that point up to him.
No, he had thought about it, but there just wasn't. No, he thought about it for you earlier this week when you came down.
But he just wanted to get me out of Dodge.
Yeah.
You know, Timmy, I want to compliment you and thank you for the tour through Foxborough Center this morning coming down here too, Billy. That was a great roundabout that we took down here coming through here. Yeah.
Well, I realize you guys probably hadn't been to the historic part of Foxborough, so I sort of took it upon myself to deliberately miss the exit 9, drive right by it, and then we took exit 7. It took us through the lovely downtown of Foxborough, very historic
looking. I will say this. We left in plenty of time, so we did have time. There was no traffic. It was a wonderful drive down, and I was impressed with the center of Foxborough, which many of us on the North Shore never have ever seen, to be honest with you.
No, because we come down Route 1
we
south.
We normally would come down.
And
that's the key word, normally.
Normally. Now, it's funny, we have a little delay here. Both coaches out talking with the officials, and I don't know what this is about. Matt Durgan kind of pulled out from the sidelines, near sidelines here, and Coach Tarpey over on the far sidelines for East Bridgewater, Sean Tarpey. What a nice job he's done with this program. They love him there down in East Bridgewater, from what we understand. And, of course, Matt Durgan brought a team to the Super Bowl 5 years ago. So both these teams have this Super Bowl experience. St. Mary's seems much more mature about this thing. You know, the AD, Jeff Newhall, was telling us yesterday that they were able to focus this week. No real big distractions like maybe it could have possibly happened 5 years ago. And they're playing down. And last year they played, or 5 years ago, at Curry. We did that game in a snow-covered Saturday morning. Here we got brilliant sunshine and so on. You know what happened down there, Tim? Is that no?
This is the. I have the game. I found the game.
Oh, nice. Okay, I got you.
Me, who was as technical as a doornail, managed to find the game. So.
You know, Bill, you were talking about Coach Tarpey. He's a Springfield graduate, played quarterback there, was an all-league player for 2 years, junior and senior year. And I noticed an article we were talking about before the game that he's always wanted to be in charge and like to call the game, and that's what he's doing for his East Bridgewater Vikings. So he's had a great program down there. So it's going to be a beautiful ball game. Now the team's getting ready, coming out on the field again and ready for the kickoff.
We got it. Okay. So it'll be a kickoff from the far end of the field to the near end of the field, or left to right, for East Bridgewater. And it appears that it's Greg Plunkett, I think, who's going to kick off for East Bridgewater. Abraham Toe is back deep in the middle field. Calvin Johnson is to his right. And off to the left for St. Mary's High School is James Brumfield, the junior. So we've got three deep for St. Mary's, near end of the field. Now I guess they're going to hold the football a little bit breezy here. MSO News Sports is your spot for live local winter sports broadcasts as well of high school hockey and basketball. Keep it here. We'll keep you posted in just days ahead here on MSO News Sports.
John, question. Do you think Matt Durgan has toe out there on this return to find out just how healthy he is?
That might be a good point, Timmy. We're going to have to find out early because they're going to need toe if they're going to win this football game.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting talking about the win, Billy, also is they've got a holder now for kicking off for East Bridgewater. So it's going to be interesting to see if the win affects this at all.
Plunkett puts the right foot into the football and he chips it near side. It will be taken by an upback who just falls on the football at the 29-yard line, fielded there by Inia Valea, and he'll just cover it up and just shy of maybe right on the 30. I guess they're going to give him the 30-yard line. So that's where St. Mary's will start. No return. That's interesting, John and Tim, that they kind of kick it away from the deep guys, not wanting to let either one of those guys field the football.
Well, here again, doing their scouting report, looking at films, the speed of St. Mary's obviously is a concern factor for East Bridgewater.
All right, Marcus Atkins brings the team out from the 30-yard line. This will be a first down for St. Mary's. And right away, I think they give it to Toe. Hits off the right side of the line out to the 32. Toe, the ball carrier. Brendan Donahue on the offensive line. Fred Blaze, Liam Reddy, Kyle Bernardini, Cam Sakowicz. Marcus Atkins, the 6-foot, 180-pound quarterback, the senior for St. Mary's. They give him a one-yard gain.
In the tackle for East Bridgewater was Brian Damon, a linebacker.
Very tight look for St. Mary's. Wing set left, fullback behind the quarterback, wing to the right side who takes the handoff, comes around the left end. That's Calvin Johnson. He's bottled up, brought way back to the 20 and taken down there. All kinds of pursuit there by East Bridgewater. In on the tackle for them was Nicholas Curry. Corey, rather. Corey, a 6-foot senior. Big linebacker coming in and making the hit.
St. Mary's is going to have to maybe pass a little bit earlier than they thought. East Bridgewater is just stacking the box right at the line of scrimmage, just daring St. Mary's to run. And they've just got overload of defensive players that are just cutting off all routes. And when you give up 10 yards, 11 yards on a running play trying to find room, that's a bad sign.
Yeah, that is an 11-yard loss. Calvin Johnson going split end out to the right side. Matt Cross going split end out to the left side. First time they've had wideouts here today. And the quick pass is to Johnson out on the right. He makes the catch at the 22, but wrapped up right away and taken down at the 24. A gain of 4, but that is it for St. Mary's, setting up a fourth down and long for the Spartans on their first possession.
East Bridgewater looks very tough defensively, very quick, get to the ball very quick to the outside. The play before, they had the entire right side of the defensive line breaking through and getting Johnson in the backfield. St. Mary's going to have its work cut out for him today.
I was thinking the same thing, John, of how fast they flow to the ball. And both defense, you get to play in this game because your defenses react really well.
Calvin Johnson to punt. He stands back at his 19. The snap goes over his head, runs back to the 5, covers it up, and now fumbles the ball, and it rolls to the goal line, covered up by St. Mary's, and East Bridgewater will get the football on the goal line. Oh, my. Everything went wrong for St. Mary's there. The snap was high. Johnson went back. He couldn't hang on to it at the 3, squirted away from him all the way down to the goal line. They'll call it the 1, but the East Bridgewater Vikings are in a great situation here, getting the football at the St. Mary's 1.
Here we are talking about getting yourself settled. We talked about this before the game, Timmy. Many of these kids have not played here before. A little bit nerves may be playing a little role here. That was a high snap, and now they have their back to the wall on the half-foot yard line, first and goal for East Bridgewater Vikings.
Yeah, but it's the dream start for your defense. A dream start for your that turns it over, gives you the ball at inside the 1 yard line. So again, a dream start for Bridgewater on both sides of the ball.
It is Liam Levangi at quarterback, out of the shotgun, one wide out far side left, two near side right, halfback set to his right side, the direct snap to him, the give is to the running back. No gain, might have lost a yard on the play. I assume that's Pat Snow, the ball carrier.
Yeah, that was Snow.
Yeah. So Snow takes the football and loses a yard on it.
That was Patrick Henry and Zion Davis for St. Mary's making the hit, and it was Henry with the initial contact at the line of scrimmage and just pulled him down. Strong defensive play there.
Statistically, it'll be a no gain, but he basically pushed him back to the 1 yard line because, as we were mentioning earlier, it was right on the goal line. So it's now second and goal from the one. Direct snap. Looked like it was mishandled. Is it loose? It's loose on the ground, I think, and St. Mary's has recovered it. Let's see. Yes, they have. It looked like the snap back to the quarterback. When he handed it off, he dropped it on the ground, and then St. Mary's covered it up.
Yeah, there was a mix-up on the handoff, Bill, as you said, and the ball rolled around for several seconds. I don't think anybody was really aware, and then one of the linebackers from St. Mary's spotted the ball and dove on it. It was in an open space.
Well, it looks like both teams have the jitters here a little bit. And also, there's a disadvantage of the spread. You start 6 yards back in the backfield. You're not on the 1 yard line where you just have to dive over a quarterback sneak it. He's 5 yards back, and it was a quick snap, and St. Mary's fell on the ball.
Each team fumbling on their first possession. It looked like the ball to me. It's right down at our end. And here's is this a keeper by the quarterback, Marcus Atkins. Yeah. If it's Atkins, he pushed it out to the 4 yard line, a gain of 3. But no one reacted. I was surprised that the quarterback, when he fumbles the football, did not react, and the running back there didn't seem to react to it. So I thought, well, maybe it wasn't a fumble.
Yeah, it looked like a quick snap. He wasn't expecting it, too. And now St. Mary's got to feel good about themselves stopping there and getting out a little bit out of trouble on the 4 yard line.
This is a second down and maybe 7 from the 4. And this is the big running back for St. Mary's, Silvestri. And
somebody moved to a flag right away.
Well, man.
And again, he had a big hole to run through that play gets negated. Coach Derger's going to roll the eyes on that one, I think. You know, you finally really quickly seem to reestablish yourself. You get a good gain on first down, and then you come back half the distance of the goal line. You got to do it all over again.
Well, right now defenses are making a statement here this morning here at Gillette Stadium. No score here. It is St. Mary's and East Bridgewater D3A game. St. Mary's with the football for the second time. Now they have it at the one, their 1 yard line, wings each way, toe to the left, and goes in motion up high. But the give us to Johnson, wing right, coming back over the middle. He might have 1 yard, but that is it. He's stopped short of the two. So here we have a fourth down and another punting situation for the Spartans, and they'll punt from their end zone.
Yeah, nice play by the linebacker, Nick Corey, number 52, a senior, 6'1", 90, reading that play, get in quickly to make the tackle.
Correction, with the penalty, it's now third down and probably about 9 to go. Third down and 9 for the Spartans at their 2 yard line. Cam Sakowicz coming back out, and Kyle Bernardini coming out over the ball at center. Marcus Atkins, senior quarterback, right up behind center. Spins, hands off. Is this Silvestri again? Nothing. Stood up, pushed back into the end zone, but forward progress will get him out to maybe the 2 or so. So again, everything very, very tough going for the Spartans. And as we found out, for East Bridgewater as well.
You know, another thing, Billy and Tim, that this game goes by very, very quickly. So you can only make so many mistakes if you're going to win the football game. We got already down to 4:50 left in the first quarter, and we haven't seen the ball outside the 20-yard line either way.
We haven't seen it outside the 5-yard line in the last 10 minutes.
Johnson in the end zone to receive the snap to punt for St. Mary's, scoreless game, first quarter. And the ball comes back to him well. This time he line drives a punt out over the 25, and it goes out of bounds at the 26, maybe 27.
Yeah, he shanked that punt, and it's too bad because the East Bridgewater receiver standing out around the 40-yard line was shading his eyes. He couldn't see with the sun coming over the back of the stadium straight into his face. That would have made for an interesting attempted catch of the punt had they been able to get a better punt off and a little bit of distance.
The East Bridgewater Vikings send 3 receivers, stack them up out on the left side, 1 near side right, and the quarterback, Liam Lavangie, out of the shotgun with Pat Snow to his right side, maybe a step back as well in the backfield. Now Lavangie looks off to the left side. That's the bench side for St. Mary's. Coach Sean Tarpey over that way. Long count here from the 28-yard line of St. Mary's. Direct snap comes back. Quick pass over to the right is batted down at the line of scrimmage by St. Mary's. Incomplete.
I believe that 66, Matt Tansy.
Oh, Patrick Henry,
okay.
Sophomore D lineman, 6'3", 260. Yeah, that ball was knocked down right on the D line.
Yeah, he got a big mitt up. And again, Henry, 6'3", 260, and that's what they teach a defensive lineman to do, getting the rush. He's the passer going back. If he's looking in your area, just get the arms extended and maybe get a hand on it. And he was able to do that.
Second down, 10. Here's Levangie running out to the left side, looking, and he'll run, turns the corner down to the 25. A flag goes down. They might have grabbed him up around the face mask, and this could be a penalty to be tacked on to this short run by quarterback Levangie.
Yeah, it looks like a horse collar tackle, so it's going to be a penalty against St. Mary. That's going to move the ball farther down inside the 20-yard line, probably.
Yeah, you saw that right arm reach out for the quarterback as he attempted to turn the corner, and he just had a real bad feeling about it. So,
moving the chains ahead. It's been everything's St. Mary's has just been really in tough field position here since really early on here, and actually the second snap of the game when they lost 11 yards on a run play back to the 20. And then things went downhill from there. But they haven't given up a point yet. But here is East Bridgewater at the 12. First down, stacked receivers, three of them to the near side, right, one far side, left. Levangie calls the signals, hands off to Snow, ahead to the 8-yard line. Tackled there by Matt Cross, the freshman.
Yeah, that's going to bring up a second down. And the other thing, too, is on that spread, Snow's obviously picked up a lot of yardage and knows how to run that football. So you got to be very careful of him. He's had a great season this year for East Bridgewater.
So it'll be a second down and 6 for East Bridgewater. Again, three receivers coming near side right. Aylward, Plunkett, and Corey, I think, in that pack off to the near side right. And it is Levangie calling the signals with Snow to his left side. To give us to Snow, straight ahead to the 6.
He's going to bring up a third down, Billy. He's going to be shot of the first down, I think.
Yeah, Patrick Henry in on the tackle from his left nose guard decision. He's quick for his size.
You know, this is the first time I've seen him, Timmy. He's good size. He's only a sophomore. He gets to the football very, very quickly.
Yeah, and local kid from Salem heading him into Lynn.
Ball is just resting outside the 5. We'll call it the 6-yard line. Two receivers to far side left, one near side right. And the quarterback, Levangie, with Snow to his left side now. From the 6-yard line in St. Mary's territory, 3rd down and 3. And it's a run play to a wing coming back around the left side who strung out, popped there at around the 7. So it'll be a loss on the play. Greg Plunkett, the ball carrier. Plunkett will run and be a receiver as well from a wideout spot coming around from the end. So they push him back, does St. Mary's, back to the 8.
I think that was Silvestri on that tackle. Great pursuit, and he got penetration into the backfield as the quarterback was attempting to make the turn. Went down low, got him around the knees, and brought him down.
Matt Crass was also in that tackle, so he got to the ball very quickly, the big center defensive end. When I say center for basketball for the St. Mary's State champs.
6'7", 215-pound freshman. So here's a 4th down and about 5 to go for East Bridgewater. And here is the quarterback, Levangie, scrambling to the right side, looking, thumping it ahead. And it's batted down incomplete on 4th down, and St. Mary's gasp, and they live again here in this first quarter, playing some dangerous territorial football here deep in their own end, and they stop East Bridgewater again. How about this? You know, when you think about that, now, psychologically, everything was going East Bridgewater's way, but when you're given the football like they've been given the football and don't score, what does that mean?
Well, you know, St. Mary's hasn't even gone on track yet, and twice they've held them, and that's huge. So that's got to be a confidence factor. So that's a huge, you know, bend but don't break type defense idea. So St. Mary's held them 4th down and doing a real good job.
You know,
the ball in the best position of the day, Billy, at the 8-yard line.
Well, they started at their own 30 on the kickoff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but we have to take into consideration, though, it was all backwards from there, though.
Yeah. Here's Johnson, the ball carrier, from the 8. He goes out to the 10 for a 2-yard gain for Calvin Johnson of St. Mary's.
And we should note that Marlon Scott, the defensive back, made the saving play on that 4th down pass attempt into the end zone by East Bridgewater. Well thrown. It was up. He had a tall receiver. Yeah. And Scott was actually in front, and he managed to get his hands up in between the hands of the receiver, who had both hands on it, and he ripped it, and he ripped it down. So good positional play, real good strength play there as well by Scott. And again, gives St. Mary's a chance to get back on the offense.
Marcus Atkins at quarterback, 6 foot 180 pounds for St. Mary's. And he has a wing left, Abraham Toe, wing right, Calvin Johnson comes in motion up high. The pitch is to Johnson, bounces outside to the left, but he doesn't get anywhere. Cut down right there, no gain. Might have might be back to the 11, but that was the line of scrimmage, so it's a no gain again. So this East Bridgewater team, I mean, they're not giving up anything at all here.
Well, you know, we talked early about size advantage. We talked early about getting to the football. Right now, size advantage has no factor whatsoever. They get to the football, East Bridgewater, as we come down the last minute of the first quarter here, if St. Mary's gets another play.
I'm sorry, Tim, but you look at Johnson. He's lost 11 yards. He's gained two, and he's got zero. I mean, he just there. That's a guy that's got to get yardage for you. But you know, it's early. It's first quarter. You know, everyone's got jitters. And here are the Spartans coming out and now going back. A little delay here.
One of the things that, you know, to John's point about size not mattering, that's true. Both teams have done their homework in terms of reading the schemes of the other team, and they're recognizing certain keys, and it's almost like they're in the flow of the offense on both sides of the ball. Look, from the defensive standpoint, they're flowing quickly to it.
Quarter's over, 0-0 at the end of one. St. Mary's East Bridgewater Division 3A Super Bowl game. We're back with quarter two just ahead.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Roger Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
If you're thinking of renovating your home, please talk to the experienced sales staff at Moynihan Lumber. That's 82 River Street in downtown Beverly. Or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Team up with The Daily Item at itemlive.com, your community information connection. The Daily Item features colorful, timely stories highlighting the North Shore. The new look page focuses on people, places, and things. The Item is presenting news in a user-friendly format. Don't miss any local news or reading features on your neighbors. Check out The Item today. It's all new every day. For home delivery, call 781-593-7700 or go to itemlive.com.
We're talking about before we went to the quarterly break, St. Mary's is coming back onto the field, and East Bridgewater is still huddled on the side with their coach. Again, each team is, as John, as you mentioned, is flowing so quickly to the point of attack of the offense and getting penetration. They're using speed. They're using angles to get in the, both teams getting into the backfield, not allowing either of their opponents to really get any kind of momentum and any kind of flow in their offense.
You know, Timmy, you made a good point. Both teams have done their homework, obviously. Yeah. These teams are flying to the football. They haven't got here because they don't play good defense. Yeah. And both teams are playing very good defense. Yeah, they've made some mistakes, but you know what? These teams are well-coached, well-prepared, and they're getting to the football very, very quickly.
And, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time for the offensive coordinators and the coaching staff to make those kind of adjustments. How do we alter our attack to get these guys off balance, maybe get them going in the wrong direction?
It's on a third down play. It's a short gainer for Joey Silvestri, the fullback, 5'8", 205 pounds senior. And the punt team is back out. Now, for us, we were living large when the ball was down at our end of the field here. Now it's down at the far end of the field here in the second quarter, and St. Mary's to punt. So Calvin Johnson standing at his 3 to receive the long snap. Snap comes back to him. It's good. He fields it, puts the right foot of the ball. Kick is high, coming near side, lands at the 33, rolls over the 33 to the 35, and that's it. No return. But again, this will be the third time that East Bridgewater gets the football in St. Mary's territory. They got it at the 1. in essence, basically the goal line. They got it at the 28, and now they get it at the St. Mary's 35. Every time they've gotten the football here this morning, it's been in St. Mary's territory.
You know, Billy, I'm looking at the flag blowing out there, and the wind is going against them now. They're throwing into the wind here, and the wind does play a factor here at Gillette.
They got the receivers stacked up, three far side right, quarterback Liam Levangie. We got the offensive line pretty sure here. It's a run play, though, to Snow. It hits off the left side of the line, pushes it down near the 32. So Snow may have about 3 yards on the carry. I think it's Adam Carr on that offensive line, a senior. Jared Frost and Troy Steidel and Brendan Gardner and Josh Nickendross, seniors, junior, senior, respectively, at the tackles. And now they'll send on the second down play. Three receivers, far side right, one near side left. Plunkett, the receiver, near side left. And Levangie calling the signals with a halfback Snow to his left. Takes the handoff, bounces out to the right side, and turns the corner down to about the 31. He needs to get down to the 25 for the first down, so they're getting short gains. This is the guy that breaks big plays, Pat Snow. So, you know, you got to if you can contain him, that's good news. But they also have other weapons, as we've talked about, with the receivers.
Yeah.
And in the tackle was Matt Tansey, too, number 68 for St. Mary's. And I'm a little I find it a little interesting that so far the game's been for both teams been played between the tackles, and both of these teams have put points on the board. So it's kind of interesting. Both coaches are playing very conservative thus far in the game.
Yeah, they really are. And the defensive lines are flying. I mean, that's your defensive lineman going, you know, 15 yards to his left to bring down the running back.
Third down and 7. Ball at the 32-yard line. They need to get down to the 25. Levangie with Plunkett, the lone receiver, far side right, and the official comes up. We have a timeout called by East Bridgewater here. And three receivers near side left. So they're, of course, in four-down territory. But, again, if you're the defensive coordinator for each of these teams, you've got to be very happy right now with the way things have gone.
Oh, certainly are. You've shut down, you know, the two very, very potent offenses. You're making plays. As John mentioned, you know, each team is literally flying to the ball, making contact within a couple of yards. If penetration of the defensive line is made, it's 2, 3, 4 yards. I think the biggest gain is no more than 5 yards on any running play. So, and it's your tackling. It's an article that, Phil Stacey wrote about Marblehead's game plan for this afternoon is with the weapons that Felton have, you've got to be tackling and tackling, sure handling. And that's what's happening out here. Nobody's getting away from the first hit. And there's a lot of support coming in once that first hit is made.
It's going to bring up a third down and 7 for East Bridgewater here. At the 32-yard line.
Defenses have been very stingy here so far in the first half. 7 minutes, 47 seconds to play in the first half. We're in the second quarter, no score. Again, the same alignment. Plunkett, far side right. Now two receivers near side left and spread out. A slot, a wing to the left side, and the fake give to the running back and the rollout. Levangie getting pursued, dumps it off on the right, and it's intercepted by St. Mary's at the 23-yard line. And run to the sidelines. St. Mary's is Levangie threw a horrible pass down on the right, and I think it is Marcus Atkins with the interception for St. Mary's.
Well, his intended receiver, I thought, was pushed down. He got run over by one of the St. Mary's defenders, if we watch it, replay. And then
Levangie throws
the pass, and the receiver's lying flat on the ground, and there's only one guy who could possibly catch the ball. So I'm surprised that the...
Let's see what happened here. They haven't taken it away. No, it's a St. Mary's football. You're right about that, Tim, and that explains that. So I take the comment back about being a horrible pass, but it went right into the hands of cornerback Marcus Atkins, the quarterback and cornerback defensively. So St. Mary's gets the football at the 25. They run a play for a short gainer. With now 7:22 to play in the first half. No score.
John, why wouldn't they have thrown a flag out? I mean, he
He ran over the receiver.
Well, if it can be inadvertent, Timmy, I mean, they could have run into each other, could have been inadvertent, and obviously we got enough officials out here, they've been around, they're experienced, and obviously that's how the official read it. Okay. And this is the best field position St. Mary's had all morning.
You're right. So where did they start here, John?
What's at the 25-yard line.
25, you're right.
So a pickup of two.
Well,
so
no, actually they start at their 30, but you're right. But it's been a long time since they've been breathing in this kind of country. Quarterback Atkins rolling out, throwing out on the right side. A catch is made up at the 45. Now they're in the best field position they've been in all year. Back coming out of the backfield, roll out to the right side. Calvin Johnson with it. Is that, yeah, Calvin Johnson with a catch. Big catch for St. Mary's. And this is what we've talked about, is that Marcus Atkins can throw the football, and he can throw the football very well at times. And so there you go, opening it up. I love it. A rollout and a pass, swinging it out on the right side.
And that was difficult. He had to drop that over the defensive back who was chasing Johnson, but in front of the safety who was coming up to assist on the play.
This time they run it back inside. There's an opening here up to the midfield, down into East Bridgewater territory, down to the 40. And this is Joey Silvestri, the ball carrier. Big, big gain for Joey Silvestri as he pushes it down inside the East Bridgewater, right at the East Bridgewater 40.
Funny how big plays gain confidence for kids. That interception and now the big pass play, and St. Mary's looks like they have their confidence finally rolling here this morning.
And again, the success of that pass play, that rollout, now you've got to respect it. So you open up your defense a little bit. You create that gap in the defensive line. You have that quick hit because Silvestri lines right up behind Johnson. He gets that ball quickly and exploits the quick hole.
And it is the running back, handoff to the run, coming near side left from the 40 down to the 35-yard line. Abraham Toe with the carry.
Toe, pretty good in that play,
yeah.
Billy.
Yeah, but watch, did you see his gait going back?
A little bit of
a
limp.
A little gimpy.
Five-yard gain.
You forget about those things in days like today.
You certainly do, and he made the defensive back and picked up another 2 or 3 yards.
Yeah, they've got it down. They've got a third and short here. And for Coach Matt Durgan, they're in four down territory here as they have the football placed down at the 32-yard line. Moving the football here from left to right here. Bernardini over the ball at center. Now a very tight look for St. Mary's. Quarterback Marcus Atkins calling the signal. Spins. Does he keep it himself? No, he hands off and they plow ahead for maybe a yard, but no more than that.
Yeah, a quick pitch to Toe in that play, Billy, and then Akins led him through the hole off-tackle play.
Abraham Toe, 5'5", 150-pound senior, suffered some injuries this year. Maybe a little, he's not 100% coming into today's game for sure. And Calvin Johnson the same way, 6'1", 180. But Johnson's looks good so far. And Marcus Atkins to the sidelines and back with the play, handing it off to his teammates here. 5:37 to go, second quarter here.
Going to bring up a 3rd and 3, Bill.
Just outside the 30, ball at the 31-yard line. Atkins, hands off, and this is Johnson down to the 30. He's very close to the first down. We'll see where they spot it. Looks like the spot's coming in at the 30. So that's very close. Are they moving the chains?
Yep.
Looks like they are, yeah. Just enough for the first down for the Spartans.
You know, Timmy and Bill, I wouldn't be surprised if he puts the ball up in the air again here. They're playing real tight, and then look for him to roll the ball and throw the ball. I wouldn't be surprised down here.
Well, they have a tight end in Patrick Henry, who's 6'3", 260. See if they can free him. Where's Henry right now? He's tight end right side, it looks like. Yeah, he's tight right. And it is Atkins with a 1st and 10, and they hand off. Oh, a fumble, loose ball. Picked up by East Bridgewater, and they're running it back to the 40, to the 30. No one's going to catch him, and East Bridgewater somehow picks up a loose football. Joseph Donahue runs it all the way down for a touchdown. Yeah, a fumble on the exchange from center to quarterback, and Donahue picked it up and ran it back from outside the 30 all the way down, and there were nothing but blue Viking uniforms around him as he crossed the goal line and into the end zone for about a...
Almost a 70-yard touchdown run, Billy.
About a 68-yard
run. That's a tough
run.
Break. He never had handle on the ball. The ball came up and looked like Marcus never had any feel, chance of getting that ball.
Point after kick coming up. This is Plunkett, and the kick is up, and it's high, and it is good.
Well, that's a, you know, that's such an unfortunate turn of events for St. Mary's. You got a big turnover. You begin to move the ball, and then on a missed exchange, and again an opportunistic play by Donahue. He was right there. And did he rip the ball away?
No. It went free. Yeah,
it went free, and he picked it up and took off. But
wow,
you know what? That was, I think that was a first down play too, wasn't it, fellas?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was.
You know,
yeah.
So things were going St. Mary's way, and there's a tough break. But you know, it'll be interesting to see how they handle adversity. This might be the first time all year they've been behind.
Wow.
So, and they've been playing very well defensively, so they just got to forget about that, forget about the play, and start moving the ball again. Plenty of time left here. 4:48 in the second quarter here. East Bridgewater 7, St. Mary's nothing.
Toe, Galvin Johnson, and James Runfield back deep for St. Mary's on the kickoff. Last time they did a short kick going down to the 30 to open up the game.
You know, would it help play a little mad now? Play with some attitude. Get an edge. And get out there and look to, you know, get back into the game and take this play and take the momentum away that East Bridgewater is gonna feel.
Now they kick it down to the 15-yard line, fielded there by Toe, run back out to the 20, short returner. So maybe they're looking at Toe thinking, well, this guy might be a little bit limp, and they'll kick it off to him. And Toe fielded it on the hop.
Yeah, he also muffed it. And he had to reach down and pick it up, so he lost any kind of momentum he had moving forward and gave East Bridgewater, the Vikings, a chance to get down there and to close off his routes.
As you said, Timmy, they're going to put on their – tighten up their chin straps and just play lunch pail offense and defense now.
Exactly.
I mean, they got a long way to go. There's 4:42 left in the half. They were moving the ball. They just got to gain their composure again and start doing what they do to get them here.
Marcus Atkins at quarterback, ball at the 20-yard line, first down for St. Mary's, working left to right here. They run it inside, wing from the left coming back over the middle for maybe a 2-yard gain. Atkins on the handoff. So a very short gainer if they give him a yard. Well, give him 3 yards out to the 23, it appears. Second down and 8, 2-yard gain, 4:20 to play, first half. Of course, time and distance, not quite the friend here for St. Mary's, but they don't want to give the football back to East Bridgewater here either late in the first half. Trailing now, St. Mary's is 7-0. A little shout-out to head of school, Grace Carter-Regan from St. Mary's, the principal, Jim Ridley, and also athletic director Jeff Newhall. Two wideouts each way now for St. Mary's on the second down and 8 from the 22, and timeout St. Mary's.
Yeah, we also want to give a shout out to alumnus and family members who aren't in the viewing area, able to watch the game on TV, that are channeling us to bring them the action. We're glad to be here as we always are to cover the local teams as they make the trip to Foxborough.
We have the D2A game this afternoon at 3:30. Yeah, spread the word if you have folks out of the area want to listen, maybe down in North Carolina or wherever. Make sure you check out. It's the Marblehead-Falmouth game. Of course, former Falmouth quarterback Paul Ingram joining Rick Moore for the broadcast this afternoon for the Falmouth-Marblehead game. Now, Paul graduated more than a decade ago, I believe, from Falmouth, right?
I think it was a century.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
so it's Ingram and Moore this afternoon, 3:30, right here on MSO. We've got posts, too. So if you're a St. Mary's fan, you're listening, have the post-game stuff up for you as well here on the website today and as well from Marblehead. So make sure you follow MSO News Sports on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and you can email us anytime at msonewsports@gmail.com.
Now, John, you mentioned that Coach Topley went to Springfield, as did Coach Ingram.
A lot of great teacher coaches went to Springfield.
Yep.
It's going to bring up a 2nd and 8 with 3:54 here in the second quarter. Bridgewater leading 7-0.
Marcus Atkins spins, drops the pass, now looks over the middle, now fires down on the right side, a little bumping, catch made at the 45-yard line of East Bridgewater, and the receiver, Calvin Johnson, goes out of bounds. But a big, big catch all the way down inside the 40, to the 38-yard line, it appears.
Great read by Johnson. He looked back, saw the ball was coming up a little bit short, stopped his route, came back, got inside the defender. Here he goes up over and reaches up. Great athletic ability. When we covered St. Mary's very early in the season, Bill, these are the catches that we saw from Johnson. Atkins loves to get down the sideline to him because he's an extremely athletic, sure-handed receiver.
Same pass route from early, even though he didn't roll down the sidelines.
Yep.
Here's Atkins with a first down for St. Mary's. They run it inside, no gains. East Bridgewater defense there in numbers.
Interesting. They ran the exact same play immediately following the previous long pass. They tried to bust Silvestri up the middle.
They were successful on that one. He got some space. And we do have the wind, as John was mentioning. Right now, the wind at the back of the Spartans here in the second quarter. That's another thing they didn't have in the first quarter, right, John? They didn't
have the wind. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's kind of the open end of the stadium. So I think if the wind were blowing in any direction, that might be the this might be the way it would have the most impact here at Gillette. Here's a quick pass out on the left. It's caught at the 34. Run down inside the 30 to the 28. Close to a first down marker down on the left side. And making that receptions, Matt Cross, the freshman, 6'7", 215 pounds. What's the guy we were talking about? Keep an eye on, too, today.
He's a real good athlete, guys. He plays basketball. He was the one that, as a youngster, that made the big play in the Boston Gons last year for the state championship basketball team. He's a fine athlete.
You know, and one of the things, too, is once he got the ball, he turned upfield and just drove into the defender who was coming up to make the tackle and gained the extra 3 or 4 yards.
Quick pass out on the right side on first down. Catch is made at the 25. No gain from there. It looks like it is a gain of maybe 2 yards down to the 25 for St. Mary's. Johnson, the receiver, again out on the right side.
Nice play by Greg Plunkett.
You took my line, John, but I was going to note the exact same thing. He came up and just grabbed the shirt and wouldn't let him go and spun him around a couple of times till the rest of the posse arrived to help on the tackle.
So if you guys are seeing the same thing, Rick Moore could be listening here saying, why do we need both of them? You know, come on. But let's see if that works again.
He is listening in.
It's a jinx. Here we go with a second down and 8. Here's Atkins to throw. Times a pass way down on the right side. It's tipped incomplete. Defender Plunkett is there. Receiver was Calvin Johnson, intended receiver.
Yeah, he had to become the defensive back on that one as the defender had position. I think that was Plunkett again, and he basically just had to push him as the ball came down into his hands.
You know,
so he'll be able to make the catch.
Being a former receiver, I'm watching Calvin Johnson go down the field. He's very close to offensive pass interference. On the second catch, was going to say he almost pushed off.
Yes.
So they're letting him play a little bit, which is great because that's what they should for a Super Bowl unless it's flagrant. So it's going to bring up third down and 7 for the Spartans.
Yeah, they've got the ball at the 28. They need to get inside the they got to get down to the 8. No, I got the yards wrong here. Here's a quick pass out on the left side. It's intercepted at the 8-yard line. A time pass out on the left intended for Cross, but it's intercepted by East Bridgewater at the 8-yard line. A receiver falls down on the tailgate. No return there.
And Cross is not getting up, and he's grabbed his knee as he pivoted around and went up for that pass.
Kevin Aylward with the interception for East Bridgewater. Yeah, is that Aylward, though? Is that that's Aylward down there, isn't it? I think the player that intercepted the football.
No, it's the St. Mary's player.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right, yep. So we have a break here reminding you that North Shore Sports Talk is North Shore Sports Night every Monday night at 7. Rick Moore and Tim Kearns welcome area coaches, players, and sports writers every Monday night at 7 right here on MSO News Sports. Well, you guys have had a lot of great football guests on here the last several weeks, and still buzzing about that Thanksgiving game in Lynn, right, guys? We were talking that. What a game on Thanksgiving Day between Lynn English and Lynn Classical.
Yeah, game for the ages. It really was a great football game. You guys were lucky enough to see it live.
I mean, is there a better Lynn English? I mean, a better game than that over the years?
This is going to be a tough injury. Stretcher has been brought out.
Want to make sure it was Cross? You're saying, Timmy? Can you tell who it is? Because Coach Brown is right now holding his breath. If that's a story,
I think it was. He was split a little bit, and he came down and Atkins. I thought Atkins was a little lazy throwing that ball, considering he had the wind with him, and knowing he's got a 6'7 receiver that can, I'll probably outrun, and he's going to be able to outreach the defensive back. I thought he was kind of lazy with that pass. He kind of just slung it three quarter and instead of getting up behind it and getting on top of it and getting that ball up into the wind and let it carry and let his man run underneath it.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We have an injury timeout on the field. We won't jump to conclusions on the identity, but we'll try to get that for you. In fact, I think they just replayed it and we missed it here. So we'll take a quick break. We're back with more from Gillette with a score. East Bridgewater 7, St. Mary's nothing. 2 minutes and a second to play in today's first half.
The Lynn Museum, located at 590 Washington Street in the heart of Lynn's emerging downtown cultural district, offers a unique perspective on history as told through the experiences of one of America's most consequential cities. Come this fall and see our newest exhibits, Industry and Craft, People at Work in Lynn, and Collecting for the Objects of Lynn. We're open Tuesdays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturdays, 9 to 1 p.m., or online at lynnmuseum.org.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn. Honeydew's seasonal favorites are finally here. Nothing says fall more on a crisp, cool morning than a hot pumpkin spice or maple cream coffee. Complement these coffee flavors with a tasty pumpkin muffin, deliciously sweet cranberry apple stick, or a freshly baked tart apple cider donut. Visit our locally owned and operated Honeydew Donut Shops located on the Linway and Western Avenue in Lynn, Eastern Avenue in Malden, Canal Street in Salem, and Meridian Street in East Boston. And experience Honeydew's flavors of the fall today.
All right, so we're still trying to determine exactly who the player is that was down. It was the wide receiver who the pass was intended for,
and we're back live from the TV feed.
So we're thinking it's Matt Cross, I think, yes. Right? And I think that's probably it. We're just we have the binoculars on, and we'll. Whoa. Coach Durgan is down there, and some other Spartan people are there, and certainly hope for the best for him.
Well, certainly they considered it serious. He couldn't, the receiver couldn't get up. His knee was flexed up. He didn't even try to get up off the ground, and one of the officials came over immediately and signaled for the stretcher. And again, as they should with any injury that you're not sure of, is take immediate medical care of it and get it checked out. He may be able to maybe walk back to be on the team bench at the end of the game. But right now the most important part is get the player stabilized, get him checked out, and as you mentioned, if it is Matt Cross, it's such a vital piece of the basketball program. But I think the basketball program is secondary now to the health of the player itself.
Of the injured player, right? Exactly. And the MIA the emergency squad got on him right away, so they got out there right away. They're certainly well qualified, and hopefully we have nothing but the best. So hopefully it'll be a good move.
Yeah, and certainly playing here at Gillette, the facilities that are going to be able to even just triage him in. Are second to none. So it is confirmed. It is Matt Cross, the freshman receiver, 6'7", 215. And again, a young man who's played such a vital part in St. Mary's success this year. And again, now everybody's going to have to man up. Everybody's going to have to do their job even a bit more effectively, with a bit more intensity.
And we're certainly non-medics, so we're not going to speculate. Hopefully, we're obviously wishing for nothing for the best for Matt. But at the same time, it, we don't know what it is and what they're doing. He's certainly in good hands. They're going to check it out right away, get him off the field, and get it evaluated as quickly as possible.
Yeah, as I mentioned, you know, with the facilities here for the professional, the pro facilities that they have here, they have a medical room, they have X-rays, and you know, they have everything that they need to immediately triage his injury to stabilize him, and then if he has to be taken, Foxborough Hospital is not far away, and certainly, you know, he's going to get the best medical care. And again, the team itself is rallying down at the 15 yard line. Members of the offensive team are gathering, and that there are words being spoken of keep your focus, let's go do our job, let's, you know, if he is injured, if he's not going to be able to come back, let's bring this home for him, because he's been such a big part of the team.
Absolutely, and it's going to bring up a when we resume play here, and we're certainly in no rush and wishing him nothing but the best. He is sitting up, hopefully he'll be evaluated and it will not be that serious.
Yeah, he's moving his he just moved his left arm, and like you said, John, he's sitting up. I think that's should be a very good sign that he's sitting up, I believe. But now they're wheeling him off. So again, we had a situation here, intended receiver, Matt Cross goes down and does not come back up as he jumped to try to make a catch at the 8-yard line. And it'll be an East Bridgewater ball now on the interception at their 9-yard line.
Just over 2 minutes of play in the first half here from Gillette. East Bridgewater 7, St. Mary's nothing.
This is the first time they've started a drive in their own territory, and they start at the 9. So right now St. Mary's is hoping for the big play, something big, something to happen. But right now, this is also where East Bridgewater can be very dangerous with the spread offense, opening it up. Three receivers now near side left as we get back underway. One far side right. Quarterback Liam Levangi with Pat Snow to his right side. The give is to Snow, and I think we have a false start here on East Bridgewater. It is. It'll be a 5-yard penalty against the Vikings. So they started at the 9, and they'll go back to the 4.
You know, if St. Mary's stiffens up here, they may have a chance to get the ball back, and they've moved it twice the last two times they've had the ball. So, I mean, this is far from over, guys. So it's only 7-0, and the only way that East Bridgewater's moved the ball is on that fumble and that 69-yard fumble recovery.
Yeah, both defenses, you know, as we talked at the beginning of the show, the defenses are going to determine who's going to win this game.
So right now they send a wideout. This is Aylward, far side right, and three wideouts near side left. Liam Levangi with the offensive line looking at the ball from the 4-yard line. The give is to Snow. He's out over the 5 to the back to the 8-yard line before he is taken down.
Be interesting to see if St. Mary's uses its timeouts here, because it's coming up to 146, 145 and counting, and it's going to bring up a second and long for the Vikings of East Bridgewater.
Yeah, one of the St. Mary's coaches just had a word with Matt Durgan. I wonder if that conversation was exactly to that point.
Again now with a second down and 10 from the 8-yard line. Levangi out of the shotgun, two receivers to the right, one to the left, and a handoff to the running back, turns the left corner out to the 15-yard line, and that looks like dwells short of the first down by about 3 yards.
Nice tackle by Calvin Johnson coming up from his defensive halfback slot.
Yeah, it looks like that would have the potential to go for a lot more, John, as the as he started to break the corner. But again, Johnson did a great job of shutting it down and again, taking him out with a good, sure tackle. That's one thing that we've seen throughout this game so far in the first half, is really sure-handed tackling by both sides.
Ben Ross, the ball carrier. Timeout called by St. Mary's with 55 seconds to play in the first half, and East Bridgewater leading 7-0. They have a third down here and about 3 to go. They need to get out to the 19 for a first down, and the ball is at the 16-yard line.
Hey, they took a picture of us.
Tim has a camera. He's the only guy with a on his camera with a photo of the Three Stooges on his
my hero.
On his camera. Yeah. Oh man, well, you're living up. At least you're modeling up to them, Tim.
That's
what we'd like to see.
Exactly.
Yeah,
they were our role models when I was growing up. Come on.
Well, he certainly doesn't work for AAA on the road trip down.
He'd normally be watching the Stooges on Saturday morning.
There's another bruise for the backside. Thank you very much. Okay.
If you missed the pregame show, we got on the air on time because we were here early enough, but we also got a beautiful tour of the center of town in Foxborough. What a lovely little center of town
that is. And now you know why I suggested us leaving at 6:45.
I know.
I had a built-in time for the tour.
Right. There you go. Kearns Tours. Two wideouts to the right side. Third down, 3. One near side left. That's Aylward. And the quarterback, Levangi, with the running back now, different running back offset to his right side. And the give is to the fullback, hitting off out to the 20. First down run out to the 30. Pushed out of bounds at about the 31-yard line. The ball carrier there was Joe Donahue for East Bridgewater.
Seemed like the same play as the last play, except they gave it to the fullback. And again, who got the corner.
Yeah, Donahue checks out and Snows checks back in. So they're obviously alternating plays. And that's probably going to be, unless there's a turnover, probably St. Mary's will not get the ball back in the end of this first half here.
The advantage is they do get the ball to start the second half.
Tyler Stanley going out as a wide out to the far side right. Two near side left, including Aylward and Plunkett. And the give is to Snow, turns the right corner out to the 30, cuts back to the middle out to the 33. So it's a gain of only about 3 or 4 yards for Snow. They've kept him intact, the big running back for East Bridgewater, 6'1", 180. But actually, that run by Donahue is the biggest play I think they've had so far today.
Yeah. Hey, Timmy, I was just wondering, doesn't St. Mary's receive to start the second half? I thought,
No.
Did they receive to start the game?
Yeah, they did.
You're right. They went backwards.
Yeah, so they do kick off?
Yes.
It was like they didn't receive to start the game.
Yeah, true.
And again, the interesting thing is we have all the fans here at Gillette all on one side here, all out down in the lower section on the far side of the field from us. So they haven't opened up the near side, and we're speculating. This is us speculating up here that maybe when the next game comes in, they'll roll the fans in on the other side. But maybe they only have the concessions and everything open on one side here for the day. Who knows? It is Levangi now with a second down, right? No, let's see here. He's back to pass, and he's looking way down over the middle, and it looks like it's intercepted by St. Mary's back at the 20. It is. And that, again, with his second interception, is Marcus Atkins floating back. They aired it way down for Plunkett. The ball was overthrown. And give Marcus Atkins credit, outrunning. They had two defenders back there on Plunkett. And Atkins coasted under it, intercepted the ball, and they get it back at the 20 with 28 seconds to play.
Yeah, Atkins read that all the way. He just played center field and went to the football. So he's obviously a proven defensive back there, and that's a big play. You know, St. Mary's really hasn't been outplayed at all this first half.
No.
And it's 7-0, so they're just going to have to go in at halftime, regroup, and come out and play football. They're very capable of putting points on the board. This is far from over.
6 turnovers in this half of football.
And again, the one score by East Boston was on a fumble recovery, run back about 68 yards for a touchdown, and that's been the only scoring in today's game. So now with 28 seconds left, St. Mary's has it at the 20. A quick pass out on the right is incomplete. Thrown a little bit high, but the receiver did not come down with it out on the right side.
Yeah, Johnson took his eye off it. He wanted to turn upfield just to split too soon. And, Bill, I know I kind of took the roundabout way to get here, but I did not end up in East Boston. It's East Bridgewater, just...
Is that what I just said, East Boston?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know it seemed like I went a long way out of the way.
It certainly seemed like you were in East Boston. You know, I kind of like Coach Durgan's aggressiveness here. He threw the ball on first down and from his own deep in his own territory, so I like that.
Just 3 seconds tick off the clock. One wide out each way for St. Mary's. Now splashing in sunshine here at Gillette Stadium. They run it up the middle, out to about the 26-yard line.
St. Mary's has not attempted to throw the ball over the middle at all so far. Every pass has been a short flare out or deep down the right sideline. And the only one that went to the left ended up in an injury to cross.
They can throw over the middle, though. So that's interesting. Of course, you is that it?
Yep.
Time running down. And the half has come to an end here at Gillette Stadium. Well, guys, why don't we just, before we go to a break, why don't we just get some initial thoughts? Now, wait a minute. Now they're telling East Bridgewater to come back here. Wait a minute here. They had a timeout called. So we're not here at the break yet. So this reminds me of Thanksgiving when the crowd charged the field here. This is just the opposite. The football team for East Bridgewater leaves the field.
You know, here again, Bill.
And that would be a good time to snap the ball here, Tim.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Matt, get him on the field.
Who says you couldn't coach at Ohio
State?
Yeah,
no, really. I got this game figured out here. You got 11 players on one side of the football, none on the other side. That's the way to win a game.
Hey, here again, I love Coach Durgan. He wants to use each and every second. He's not content to go in and regroup just yet. So I love that. And he's here to win. He's not here just to compete. He's here to win. So time for one more play. 1 second left on the clock here at Gillette.
Well, you know, what's in the back of his mind is Clasco pulled out a win with no time on the clock. Why not try to pull a tying touchdown here with no time on the clock?
We're back. Direct snap. The snap comes back to the quarterback, Atkins, right behind center. Rolls to the right side, looking now. Throws on the run and drops incomplete. And that'll do it here at the end of the first half. Both a quick comment from both of you guys, John, then Tim, on the first half.
All right, I really think that we have 7-0 at halftime. St. Mary's moved the ball effectively the last two times they've had the ball. They got down to the 20-yard line. There's no need to panic. They're going to go in at halftime. Coach Durgan's going to regroup. He's going to talk to his coaches, reassure his players. And the most important thing is I believe that St. Mary's believes they can win this football game. They've had some success on the ground. I think they're going to come out fired up, and it's only 7-0.
Well, I think for East Bridgewater, you know, Coach Topp is going to say, you know, the defense has done a job. You've created turnovers. You scored off the turnovers. St. Mary's is playing really well, too. Let's keep up the intensity. If we just play give and take the rest of the football game, we still walk out of here winners. But don't lose the intensity.
So the score at the half, it's East Bridgewater 7, St. Mary's nothing here on MSO News Sports, where later on today, Rick Moore and Paul Ingram will bring you live coverage right here on Channel A of the Division 2A Super Bowl game between Marblehead and Falmouth, all right here on MSO News Sports. Your home for North Shore Sports Night, Monday night at 7 o'clock.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson 400 Series windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Anderson 400 is attractive, durable, energy efficient, and reasonably priced. Remember, Anderson is the most trusted name in windows. See the Anderson 400 at any of our three locations. That's North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite, eat, drink, and chill. At the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi, this is Saka Sarkisian, owner of Sarkisian Sportswear, located on Route 1 South in Peabody. We are a sports team dealer and custom apparel distributor that can handle all of your team's or company's uniform and apparel needs. So stop by and visit us at 182 Newbury Street in Peabody to see our storefront. Visit with our friendly and helpful staff and let us help you get the right fit for your program. Also, you can visit our website, SarkisianSports.com, to view our monthly specials and learn more about us.
MSO NewsSports.com, MSO Radio.
Welcome back to Gillette Stadium. I'm Bill Newell, along with Tim Kearns and John Squires, for live coverage of the St. Mary's East Bridgewater Division 3A Super Bowl game. At the half, the score, East Bridgewater 7, St. Mary's nothing. Kind of a very unlikely first half. As you look at St. Mary's, they got the football to open up the game at their own 30-yard line. Then they ended up having to punt the ball away, but on the first, on the snap back to the punter, it went past him all the way down to the goal line practically, where East Bridgewater recovered it, but did not score. Then they get the ball back again, East Bridgewater does, at the St. Mary's 28. They do not score, and then They get the ball back at the 35-yard line, St. Mary's 35, and do not score. And yet they do score when St. Mary's has the ball in the red zone in East Bridgewater territory. They fumble the football, and Donahue, that would be Joseph Donahue, picks it up and runs 68 yards for a fumble recovery touchdown, and that's the scoring. And that's been it here. And, John, you have an interesting stat you just came back with from the press room, which doesn't surprise me at all. And it is?
And it's that for the first half, total yards, East Bridgewater has 44 total yards, and St. Mary's has 108 total yards. So I'd have to say St. Mary's outplayed East Bridgewater for the first half, and they're down 7-0. Other than that one fumbled return for East Bridgewater by Donahue, St. Mary's is outplayed and still hasn't gone on the board yet.
Now, coming up later on today, Rick Moore and Paul Ingram will have coverage of the Division IIA Super Bowl from Gillette Stadium. It is Marblehead and Falmouth. It's all here. 3:30 kickoff right here on MSO News Sports. Do check out MSO News Sports each day for a local North Shore radio newscast in our North Shore Today post, daily news and photos, and MSO News Sports is your spot for live local winter sports broadcasts of high school hockey and basketball this winter right here on MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell along with Tim Kearns and John Squires, back with more here at the half, East Bridgewater 7, St. Mary's nothing, here on MSO News Sports.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
The Lynn Museum, located at 590 Washington Street in the heart of Lynn's emerging downtown cultural district, offers a unique perspective on history as told through the experiences of one of America's most consequential cities. Come this fall and see our newest exhibits, Industry and Craft, People at Work in Lynn, and Collecting for the Objects of Lynn. We're open Tuesdays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturdays, 9 to 1 p.m., or online at lynnmuseum.org.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Team up with The Daily Item at itemlive.com, your community information connection. The Daily Item features colorful, timely stories highlighting the North Shore. The new look page focuses on people, places, and things. The Item is presenting news in a user-friendly format. Don't miss any local news or reading features on your neighbors. Check out The Item today. It's all new every day. For home delivery, call 781-593-7700 or go to itemlive.com. Honeydews seasonal favorites are finally here. Nothing says fall more on a crisp, cool morning than a hot pumpkin spice or maple cream coffee. Complement these coffee flavors with a tasty pumpkin muffin, deliciously sweet cranberry apple stick, or a freshly baked tart apple cider donut. Visit our locally owned and operated Honeydew Donut Shops located on the Linway and Western Avenue in Lynn, Eastern Avenue in Malden, Canal Street in Salem, and Meridian Street in East Boston. And experience Honeydews flavors of the fall today. MSONewsports.com, MSO Radio.
Back at the half, St. Mary's and East Bridgewater in the Division IIIA Super Bowl game from Gillette Stadium. Got some white clouds, white and gray clouds up above, breezing by here, but predominantly blue skies and sunshine here on this Super Saturday at Gillette Stadium. 7-0, East Bridgewater leading St. Mary's here at the half, just moments away from the kickoff to start the second half.
Thank you, Don Kent, for that very accurate weather forecast.
Just setting the scene for the folks.
Beautiful day for football, and it's going to continue the rest of the day, you two birds. So it's going to be really a great day for football out here. 40 degrees sun, as you said, Billy. And
we're not letting great weather ruin we'll ruin our broadcast no matter what the weather is. But we're able to ruin a broadcast no matter whether the conditions are great or not.
But it is done. I mean, and for the kids and for the families to come out and have this kind of environment. Bill and I were reminiscing, and I think you said you were here too, of that the 06 Super Bowl or 08, that it was below zero. It had snowed. It was just god awful.
Well, Tim, I'll tell you a little sidelight on that. That was the year Swampscott won the Super Bowl, and Gloucester won the Super Bowl that year right after the Swampscott game.
Yep.
Both teams from the same league. That's the last year that could happen. And it was an ungodly day down here, freezing. And it was a thrill for me because my son Ryan played on that Super Bowl team, and they went on to have the greatest record Swampscott's ever had, 12-1 that year. And their only loss being a Gloucester at Swampscott, 21-14.
Yeah, I mean, that was a outrageous football for the Northeast Conference that like 2006 to 2010 run of games. Paul Ingram's 50-2 record, three perfect seasons. He lost to Swampscott early in the season in that 08 season, and then they didn't lose again until they met Duxbury here at Gillette Stadium. But we look back over the years and the quality of football that's been played in the Northeast Conference. We certainly are all familiar with it. You know, we've grown up with it, been part of it in one way or another. And to see the teams come out here year after year and represent the conference as ably as they do. And John, you mentioned the disparity in yardage in offense in the first half. St. Mary's 108, basically on three big plays.
Absolutely, and they are going to obviously throw the ball some more second half. They're going to have to, which will open up, as you said earlier, their offense. Also, looking down there, this is great for the parents and the schools, the administrators, the teachers. There's great representation from both towns as they're sitting across from the rest of us. It's just a great day for everybody. It's a great day for high school football, and we want to thank the MIA. But more importantly, we want to thank Mr. Kraft and the Gillette organization down here for letting the schoolboy football teams come down here and experience this great, great atmosphere.
Yeah, it's certainly a great thing of community relations to provide this venue for the kids, to give them this kind of experience, as you said. And, you know, as we came in, and I was here Tuesday for the media day, there are so many people that he employs here to make sure that the experience that you have is the best possible experience. When I came in, there was somebody at every door to guide you to the next doorway to tell you where to go to get where you needed to go. We came in today, there was an employee at the entrance to the walkway to lead you to the doorway to come in, and there had to be a half a dozen people checking you in, making sure you went through the right door, and then which door to get down, take the elevator up, and they are polite. Their job is to make sure that, again, you get to go where you need to go and have the experience you hope to have when you come to Gillette.
You know, Tim, when we leave today out of the booth, there's just the one door behind you. That's the one to go through, okay? But that's later on. But I'm just tipping you off to that one.
I want to know who put the arrow on the wall across from the door that points to the left. That's the way I have to go.
Yeah, we'll
do
that. No, no. John and I put the footprints on the floor leading out to the elevator for you.
When I went out there for a break for a minute or two, I did ask an employee if he could lead us out of town, if we could follow him out of town to get back to Route 1 so we would not have to go through Foxborough
again. Yeah, that would be nice, yeah. But they, in all seriousness, the Crafts do a great job, and they're very the folks are here. They're working, and they're very hospitable. Here's the St. Mary's kickoff to East Bridgewater, fielded at the 20, bobbled for a moment, picked up there by Plunkett after it kind of clanked off the returner Snow, the other returner rather. That would have been Joshua Jakes, and he runs it back out to around the 38-yard line.
You know, As Jake began to run, I kept thinking, did Snow let that go through? Did he muff that deliberately
and let it go through
his legs? Because Jake is lined up directly behind him about 5 yards away. And seeing Snow take it, St. Mary's would focus on him, and then it goes to the next guy. And he had a good run back because of that.
Well, and here is East Bridgewater starting at their 38-yard line to start the third quarter here. 7-0 East Bridgewater, Division 3A Super Bowl. And it's a handoff and a run play. Taking the football is Joe Donahue, hitting off the right side of the line. He had the run earlier he had accounted for a lot of those 44 yards in that first half for East Bridgewater, a 2-yard gain there.
Yeah, he recovered a fumble from his defensive linebacker position and went 69, 70 yards for the only score of the
day. Yeah.
Quick hit by Liam Reddy for St. Mary's on that tackle, shooting to his right from his left defensive end position as Pat Henry got penetration. He slid in behind him and covered that gap.
Lavangia, quarterback, out of the shotgun. has a running back set to his right side, and two wideouts to the right, one near side left. Direct snap to him. He wants to throw left. Now hands it off. Running back sweeping the left side. This is Colby Wilkins. Turns it up to the 46 and out of bounds.
You know, Tim, you talked earlier about guards pulling. East Bridgewater just pulled their guard and had a great downfield block for Snow, and they're very, very quick off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and again,
that was Ben Ross carrying. I'm sorry. Okay,
you know, to get a 10-2 record, and you know, 11-0 as St. Mary's, or 12-0 as St. Mary's. You come in, you've got to have guys again that can execute that running game. If you've got the backs, you've got to have guys that they can get out there and make those kind of plays.
Ross at halfback, right side. He's got the first down on about a 10-yard run out to the 49. Directs that back to the quarterback. Quick pass out on the left. Plunkett has it at the St. Mary's 45. Ahead for one more yard down to the 44. Tackle by Calvin Johnson of Lynn of St. Mary's.
Well, it looks like East Bridgewater is going to open things up a little bit, as St. Mary's did in the end of the second period here. Plunkett's had a great receiving record at East Bridgewater, and Lavangie's done a good job of getting the ball quickly.
Yeah, that's the key. Get yourself 5 to 7 yards downfield. Look for the ball, turn, and get upfield before the defense can react.
Tyler Stanley, wide out right side. The running back to the left of him is Ben Ross. And the give is to Ross off the right side, down inside the 40 to the 38. Ross inside the St. Mary's 40. Let's see where they spot it. Just resting, call it the 39.
This is the first real sustained drive of any significance for East Bridgewater today, in which they have moved the ball effectively. Again, they've gone left. They've gone to the sweep the left side. The short pass down the middle, again trying to go wide again to the right side, staying away from the middle of the St. Mary's defense because it's not giving anything up.
Two wide outs out to the right side. It would be Plunkett and Aylward out far side right. And now Aylward back in motion, but the give is to the running back, Donahue, straight ahead to the 40, to the 39 before he's wrapped up there. Bunch of St. Mary's players coming in on the hit, including for St. Mary's, Liam Reddy there.
Well, it looks like both teams have got rid of the jitters and are going to open up the playbook a little bit here. They're both playing defense offense. As you said, this is the first time we've seen a sustained drive by East Bridgewater, and they seem more comfortable to start this third quarter. This is going to be a very important defensive stand, hopefully, for St. Mary's.
1 yard gain, second down and 9. Wide out, 2 to the near side left, 1 far side right, and the running back beside the quarterback, and the keeper. Oh, no, they do hand it off to the running back. I think this is Ross coming around right end down to the 35. He's short of the first down, but he picks up maybe 4 yards down to the 35-yard line.
Lavangie does a nice job on that fake. That's a couple of times now that I've actually thought he's kept the ball as well. And that freezes your linebackers, and that gives that running back a chance, if he can get out and turn a corner, that he's going to be able to pick up some extra yardage.
Now, guys, the goalposts in pro football are narrower, right? Aren't they?
Well, no, I don't think they're narrow. They're tall. They added that extension.
Okay.
And I think it's because the guys kick so high nowadays, it makes it easier for the officials underneath them to determine whether or not it's good or not.
Ball at the 35-yard line. Lavangie wants to throw, does so out on the right side. Quick pass out on the right, a catch, and it looks like it is enough for the first down. Inside the 30 at about the 28-yard line. Needed to get to the just inside the 30, a couple of yards to spare.
Well, we're starting to see East Bridgewater continue to open up their playbook. Now they're throwing the ball to the right side, Tim and Bill, and Lavangie's showing that he can throw the ball. Obviously, he's more comfortable in the pocket. They're starting to move the ball, and they're alternating their running back from time to time, and it looks like they're starting to be successful offensively.
Yeah, and he had a little time to throw the ball. He set his feet, threw it to the outside of the receiver, who made a great reception. He was able to focus on the catch, then turn his shoulders upfield.
Corey, the receiver there, one half back to the right side, and the quarterback, they give it to the running back, Ross, turns the left side, no gain really, out to the 29, down to the 29, might have lost a yard on that play.
They're running that handoff so effectively, and St. Mary's is flowing with the running back. I can see
one of these times Levante is just going to keep it because it's wide open in the middle for him.
Nice play by Cam Sakowicz, too, for coming over from his linebacker spot and with three other quarter tacklers for St. Mary's.
Man coverage for St. Mary's here with two wideouts to the right, one to the far side, near side left. And it is a second down here in 10. Here's a pass batted down at the line of scrimmage. Yet again by St. Mary's.
Patrick Henry, once again, from his defensive end or tackle position, knocking that down.
But again, as you know, as they're taught, once the quarterback sets his feet and looks at you, and he's looking your way, just get your body up in the air, get your hands, arms extended as far as you can, and something good might happen. And again, that's twice today now that St. Mary's has knocked down passes at the line of scrimmage.
Ball at the 28. Third down 10 for East Bridgewater, leading 7-0, third quarter, 5:52 to play. Two wideouts to the right, two near side left as well. Halfback to the right of quarterback Levange here. Takes the direct snap from the shotgun, quick pass out on the right side. The catch is made at the 25, and a run after the catch, down to the 10, down to the 5, struggling ahead is the receiver, down near the 5-yard line, and he's down there where it'll be a first and goal for East Bridgewater on a really a struggling and a nice catch and run by the Vikings.
Well, missed opportunity to stop that ball before the first down yardage was made. It was simply an attempted tackle, missed tackle right there, and then a bump trying to drive him down, and the receiver stayed on his feet. Number 13, Aylward, he stayed on his feet and kept driving forward, and it took a gang of Spartans to bring him down.
Yeah, great effort. Aylward is one of those guys, one of the targets, and you know, he's had a great year. Corey's had an outstanding year. Plunkett all for East Bridgewater. So now it's a first and goal with the ball at the 6-yard line. First and goal at the 6. Running back to the right of Levange. And this time he does keep it, Tim, and runs down inside the 5. So Levange keeps it and down to the 2, as you had noted earlier. And I think that's a great observation, because that keeper did appear to be open. Now he comes up with a little bit of a limp coming out of the huddle.
Later on this afternoon, we're going to see a team that runs as offense unbelievably. That's Falmouth. Falmouth runs the triple option against Marblehead. Mm-hmm. And I know Coach Rudolph was very concerned about that. I mean, Levange's doing a great job, and he does. It's very hard to spot who has the ball. But Falmouth has been running this offense for years, so Marblehead is going to have a very interesting afternoon ahead for them.
Second and goal at the 2-yard line. Two wide outs, make it 3, near side left, 1 far side right. And it is East Bridgewater at the St. Mary's 2, and it's a keeper. And into the end zone, it is Levange faking inside, running around right tackle and into the end zone.
Well, again, two missed tackles on that pass play really set East Bridgewater up for this particular score. And again, Levange, twice in a row, keeping the ball. They have St. Mary's guessing who was going to get it, and he just pulled it down. And it basically ran to the exact same spot as he did on the previous play, found a gap and leaped into the end zone.
Yeah, great fake by Levange to keep the ball and go in, and we're lining up for the extra point here.
And the kick is up. It looks strong, and it is good. And we're at 14-0. Plunkett with the point after kick. Double check. I know. Check that. With the point after kick, it is David Trask of East Bridgewater. So Trask with the point after kick. And it's now 14-0. East Bridgewater leading St. Mary's.
Well, now we're going to see what St. Mary's really made out of. They certainly, if they have been down, which I don't think they have been all season, they've not been down 14-0 all year. Earlier in the season, maybe against Linfield, they had a tough game when both Johnson and Toe were hurt. But this is really going to be a tester for St. Mary's. They're going to have to put on their helmets again, and they're going to have to tighten it up, and they need to move the ball. Time is a factor here now, because even though there's 4:20 left in the third quarter, time moves very quickly here. They use almost the entire third quarter on that drive. We have 4:20 to go, 14-0 East Bridgewater.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, East Bridgewater outgained themselves in the first half on that one drive for that touchdown.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, this is Plunkett to kick off for East Bridgewater. A methodical 62-yard drive for East Bridgewater, which is really their only drive that they've had of the game, resulting in a touchdown, but and the really only drive they've had in the game, and it comes here in the third quarter, but eats up all the time down to 4:20 to go in the third quarter, and the Spartans find themselves down by the two scores, 14-0.
Look at the goalposts in front of us, guys, and how much the goalposts themselves are moving now. The wind has really picked up down there on the field.
Yeah, a little bit of a crossing wind here now, but it's going to come into the teeth here of the football on the kickoff. St. Mary's will have the wind at their back here for the final 4:20 of the quarter. A little chip shot kickoff fielded at the 34-yard line without a return. That's pretty much how they started the game, these two teams. No return for St. Mary's. And the Spartans smartly playing it safe. Don't get too tricky with that. You got all kinds of coverage there. They know what they're doing. They're going to flood that area with defenders, and there's not much of a chance of a return.
Also, Bill, as you said, that with this wind, we're inside. We're not experiencing the outdoor elements.
Right.
And you're going to see that ball flutter like a knuckleball. They're taught, the up men, just to catch the ball and go right down to it, especially in weather conditions like this.
Well, St. Mary's comes out, and where are they at? The 34? 34, I think, yeah. So they're starting at their 34, one of their better field positions they've started a drive at or a possession at all day long. Now they hand off, and is there a scramble for the football? East Bridgewater has recovered a fumble on the first exchange for St. Mary's, and a couple of Spartan players, one of them has their head down on the turf thinking, oh my, what have we done here? A fumble as they touched the football for the first time of the second half. They trailed at the half 7-0. They kicked off to East Bridgewater, drove the field 62 yards for the score. Now they get it back on the first snap. They fumble it, and they give it to East Bridgewater at their own 39-yard line. So East Bridgewater in very good field position, looking to put the game away right now.
You know, Tim, you talked about defensively being taught well. It may be very well that the first man to the ball is going to hold him, and as the Patriots are taught, the second and third man are going to go after the ball, because these ball carriers of St. Mary's are well taught and well coached, yep, and they usually do not fumble.
Yeah, that's the seventh turnover of the game today.
It's a handoff to Ross. Ben Ross, running back, hits off the right side of the line from the 39. He goes down to about the 36, a 3-yard gain for Ross.
Well, now's the time St. Mary's has to come up with a big play. They got to cause a turnover here, because I'm sure East Bridgewater has gained their confidence. They're up 14-0. There's 3:46 to go. St. Mary's have their back to the wall a little bit, so something's got to happen for the Spartans if they want to turn this ball game around, and it's got to happen quickly.
Coming up later this afternoon, it's the Division II A Super Bowl game right here on MSO News Sports, live on Channel A, this channel here. It is Marblehead versus Falmouth, 3:30 kickoff with Rick Moore and Paul Ingram. Three wideouts near side left, one far side right. On the second down and about 9, it is Ross the ball carrier once again. Ben Ross, 5'7 running back, pounding it ahead for a couple yards, maybe one more yard, setting up a third and long here for East Bridgewater. Of course, what they want to do is run the clock here, get the clock running here, and that's exactly what they're doing now. 3 minutes to play in the third quarter with a 14-0 lead.
Nice play by Patrick Henry from his defensive lineman position again. He was on the first on the stop there, and it's going to bring up a third and 7 for the Vikings of East Bridgewater.
Liam Lavangie at quarterback, and a quick pass out on the left side. The catch is made there by Plunkett, runs down the left sidelines inside the 30 to the 28, maybe the 27. That looks like it's just enough for the first down. It is.
Yeah, that was just a real one-step drop, and the flank, the wide receiver had just taken a step back, took it, and he had, again, 10 yards of clear sailing to head down the field as St. Mary's was playing a bit off the ball there.
Tim, have you noticed when they complete a pass, the receivers downfield block very, very well? So after they have a catch, they have a receiver blocking on the defensive halfback.
Right. You got three receivers off here on the right, and right now two defenders. Look out. But the ball comes in the middle on a run play down to the 25, a short gainer on first down, second down and maybe 8 or 9. Just over 2 minutes to play here in the third quarter.
Check out MSO News Sports each day for a local North Shore radio newscast in our North Shore Today post, daily news and photos every day right here on MSO News Sports.
You know, and when you watch LaVinci in the pass plays, he's getting rid of the ball very, very quickly. One, two-step drop and get rid of the ball, not giving St. Mary's a chance to penetrate and put pressure on him.
Ross, halfback set left side to LaVinci out of the shotgun. Three receivers to the right, one to the near side left. That's Aylward. The give is to the running back, Ross. Or did the quarterback keep it? The quarterback
LaVinci kept it.
LaVinci kept it down to the, he's pushed back out to the 29ers, so lost some yards on that.
See how well he moves that ball and fakes the ball, Billy? Seriously. As we look at that now, it did look like Ross had the ball, but he keeps the ball, as you said, Tim, to the very last second, which he's taught to do, and then he pulls it out. He makes the decision, not the running back.
Yes. Yeah, and for St. Mary's, you had Silvestri in on that play. You had, Henry in on that play. You had Reddy in on that play. Just had him encircled. He had nowhere to go once he decided to keep the ball. Again, great penetration by the St. Mary's defensive front, helped up by their linebacker.
Third down and 12 for East Bridgewater. Now Plunkett in motion from left to right. And a toss over the middle. Man wide open, a catch at the 10 and run in for the touchdown. Michael Corey with the reception, the catch at the 10, and the touchdown.
Wow, there's a blown coverage there. He just slipped out of the flanker position. Again, the run fake sets that whole thing up as everybody was biting on the handoff, and nobody noticed the flanker just right down the gut.
Great call from up top, too. Obviously, one of the coaches spotted that earlier on, and it was a great call because not only a blown coverage, which I'm not even sure if it was a defense that St. Mary's was in, and it was a great call by the East Bridgewater staff.
Yep.
Here is the point after kick. That is up, and it is good again by Trask. So Corey with the catch and run, 30-yard touchdown catch, and the kick by Trask is good, and we're at 21-0. We'll step aside. We're back with more football just ahead here on MSO News Sports.
Team up with The Daily Item at itemlive.com, your community information connection. The Daily Item features colorful, timely stories highlighting the North Shore. The new look page focuses on people, places, and things. The Item is presenting news in a user-friendly format. Don't miss any local news or reading features on your neighbors. Check out The Item today. It's all new every day. For home delivery, call 781-593-7700 or go to itemlive.com.
The Lynn Museum, located at 590 Washington Street in the heart of Lynn's emerging downtown cultural district, offers a unique perspective on history as told through the experiences of one of America's most consequential cities. Come this fall and see our newest exhibits, Industry and Craft, People at Work in Lynn, and Collecting for the Objects of Lynn. We're open Tuesdays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturdays, 9 to 1 p.m., or online at lynnmuseum.org.
Little chop kickoff by East Bridgewater to St. Mary's. Takes a hop in the air, covered up by St. Mary's at their 40-yard line. So a 27-yard pass play from quarterback Liam LaVinci to Michael Corey. The last 10 yards, he ran it in straight down over the middle for the touchdown. We mentioned earlier they had the three receivers out on the right side. I don't think they had three. They might have had three on that set, but only two defenders. So they might have figured something out, as you were mentioning, John, offensively at East Bridgewater there, as they, who knows? We haven't watched the replay on that one at all. But nonetheless, this is the team. This is the East Bridgewater team that the folks in East Bridgewater have seen all year, a team that can pass and run and, you know, have a diversified offense. And that's what they've shown here in the third quarter here. Still only in the third quarter, 40 seconds to play. Two big scores here by East Bridgewater in the third quarter to take the 21-0 lead. And now the Vikings take a timeout.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what St. Mary's does now. I mean, you can't panic and you can't just throw the kitchen sink at them. They got to get a sustained drive going here, and they got to put some points on the board so they stop believing again. Because I really thought after the first half that St. Mary's was going to come out, stop East Bridgewater, and then go from there.
We're going to step aside. We're back with more just ahead here on MSO News Sports.
Fact is, including the commute people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
Foot in.
Back at Gillette Stadium, first down at the 38 for St. Mary's. Just seconds to go here in the third quarter. Rollout right side. Catch made by Johnson out over the 40. Short gainer, though. Hit the sidelines. Just barely came in with that football. The spot is out to the 46-yard line. So actually, let's see there. They got maybe about 7 yards on that. So it's second down and 3 for St. Mary's, trailing by the 21-0 score here against East Bridgewater in the Division 2A Super Bowl game.
Going to bring up a second and short, second and 3 yards. Ball in the 21-yard line?
No, 46 yards.
46, right.
Running play is straight up the middle, out to the 49. That's very close to the first down. Toe the ball carrier. And they may measure.
Indicating a little short. See what the referee decides to do.
13 seconds to play in the quarter. The Spartans do have the wind at their back here in this quarter. They jump up on the football to try to get this playoff here with 5 seconds, 4 seconds to go in the quarter. They snap it back to the quarterback who wants to throw, looking to the right, nothing there. Now over the middle, catch and an incompletion. There was coming across the middle for St. Mary's High School. It was James Brumfield. Ball was kind of in his gut, but he got hit, and a ball popped free. So it wasn't a catch. It drops incomplete, and the quarter does come to an end. So we've played three here at Gillette Stadium in the Division 3A Super Bowl game. East Bridgewater, on the strength of 2 third-quarter touchdowns, now leads St. Mary's 21-0 here in the third after three here on MSONewsSports.com.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Back at Gillette Stadium, just about ready for the first snap of the fourth quarter. St. Mary's with a fourth down and one here. And they will go for it here as the ball is resting just about at midfield. And they are trailing by the 21-0 score here against East Bridgewater. So what do you do? It looks like, what is that, toe in the backfield along with the quarterback Marcus Atkins waiting for the time to come back from the TV break here. North Shore Sports Night every Monday night at 7 o'clock with Rick Moore and Tim Kearns as they welcome area coaches, players, and sports writers. Monday night at 7 right here on MSO News Sports on Channel A. And, of course, this is MSO News Sports, a North Shore news and sports website with exclusive radio and video contact. On 4th and 1, they pounded off the right side of the line. The surge is there for the first down for St. Mary's. As they unpile, Abraham Toe, the ball carrier, getting the first down. Get it to the 48 of East Bridgewater, staying alive here with 9:56 to go, fourth quarter.
Again, you're down 21. You're going to have to move the ball quicker. You're going to have to get the snap off quicker, execute the play quicker, and be very, very efficient and make plays.
32, rather. It'll be 32, Corey. And it is a run play. This is the quarterback, Silvestri, keeping. Atkins keeping it, bouncing and dancing left and right down to the 45, a keeper for St. Mary's High School.
Well, time becomes a factor now. St. Mary's trailing 21-0 with coming up to the 9-minute mark of the fourth quarter. So St. Mary's going to have to put something together very, very quickly here. And what's happening now is the kids from St. Mary's are starting to question maybe themselves a little bit. The kids from Eastwood Water are getting more and more confident as the time goes on.
Ball is at the 44-yard line. St. Mary's sending two wideouts near side left. Now more of the field is in sunshine here. Early morning game here. Pass is intercepted. Pass is intercepted by Plunkett at the 45 for East Bridgewater. And that's a huge interception at this point in the game with 8:54 to play. He runs it out to midfield on a short return, and it'll be first down for East Bridgewater with a 3-score lead.
You know, they talked about Plunkett and his ability not only as a smart National Honor Society student, but as a real good two-way football player. And here he is coming up with a key play here again. So he's performed well all year for East Bridgewater. It's 21-0 here, East Bridgewater, 8:54 remaining in the fourth quarter. And St. Mary's is really starting to, the fans are starting, I'm sure, get edgy, and the players are starting to get a little anxious.
Yeah, that ball was not a well-thrown ball. It was thrown to the inside of the receiver, and Plunkett was just right there to catch it.
So East Bridgewater comes back out, and on first down, they hand off on the run play. No surprise to get the clock rolling here. Short gainer, Donahue, the ball carrier, Joe Donahue. Again, we send out our thoughts for Matt Cross, the freshman for St. Mary's, who went out injured in today's game. Matt Cross, 6'7", 215-pound freshman, went out on the stretcher, but he was sitting up as he was going out. So, again, we wish him the very best here in today's game. Right, Matt Cross. Two wideouts each way now for East Bridgewater. Balanced look here. I don't think they've done two wideouts each side. And a quick pass out on the right side off the fingertips of Plunkett and intercepted there by St. Mary's, run from the 50 down to the 30 and out of bounds there. Big interception there by St. Mary's High School, and intercepting the football was Marlon Scott, the junior free safety, coming across, intercepting the football and running it down to the 30. So right back, St. Mary's not only gets the football back, but they get it in good field position just inside the 30 at about the 28-yard line.
Well, we're talking about a big break or a big play made by St. Mary's to maybe get that fire under their self a little bit, and that was a big play by Scott. So now St. Mary's is in great field position. Still 8:09 left to go here, so it's first and 10 for the Spartans. And if I'm not mistaken, this may be close to the deepest they've had since middle of the second quarter.
Yes, you are right. You know, and that ball was thrown a little bit high. He checked off. It wasn't his primary receiver. LaVinci came back to Plunk a little high off his hands, and again, good positioning by St. Mary's defense there to make a play.
Marcus Atkins back right behind center. Spins, and they run. The wing coming back inside. A very short gainer, if any gain at all, on that run play. Abraham Toe, the ball carrier. Toe's getting some more touches here in the second half here, now in the fourth quarter here. Clock runs, though. 7:50 to play in the game. Time running out here on the Spartans with the ball at the 28. No gainer there.
Going to bring up a second and 10 from the 28-yard line.
Looking at my fan control, I see fans coming into the stadium through the gateway over there, but they're still not coming in over on this side here, so they're keeping the fans on one side of the field for right now. Here is the quarterback, Atkins, throwing down on the left, a leap and a catch that appears down at the 6 or 5-yard line, and coming down with that football, it is
24.
Yeah, okay. So catching the football, Lee Pacheco, coming down with that football.
Well-thrown pass, and Pacheco went up and got the ball nicely in front of number 13, Kevin Allwood. So,
you know, that was looked like almost the same kind of pass play that Cross got hurt on, and now Pacheco is down on the field inside the and right at the same spot, too. It's the other end of the field, but it's exact same spot just about, the 8-yard line. This time he catches the ball. The other one was an interception. So now we have another injured player down here, and that's just too bad. What we'll do is take a quick break. We're back with more just ahead here with 7:19 to play, 21-0. East Bridgewater leads St. Mary's.
Honeydew's seasonal favorites are finally here. Nothing says fall more on a crisp, cool morning than a hot pumpkin spice or maple cream coffee. Complement these coffee flavors with a tasty pumpkin muffin, deliciously sweet cranberry apple stick, or a freshly baked tart apple cider donut. Visit our locally owned and operated Honeydew Donut Shops located on the Linway and Western Avenue in Lynn, Eastern Avenue in Malden, Canal Street in Salem, and Meridian Street in East Boston. And experience Honeydew's flavors of the fall today. Team up with The Daily Item at itemlive.com, your community information connection. The Daily Item features colorful, timely stories highlighting the North Shore. The new look page focuses on people, places, and things. The Item is presenting news in a user-friendly format. Don't miss any local news or reading features on your neighbors. Check out The Item today. It's all new every day. For home delivery, call 781-593-7700 or go to itemlive.com.
The Lynn Museum, located at 590 Washington Street in the heart of Lynn's emerging downtown cultural district, offers a unique perspective on history as told through the experiences of one of America's most consequential cities. Come this fall and see our newest exhibits, Industry and Craft, People at Work in Lynn, and Collecting for the Objects of Lynn. We're open Tuesdays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturdays, 9 to 1 p.m., or online at lynnmuseum.org.
Yeah, all right, welcome back. It was the injured player was a East Bridgewater player who's now being helped off the field or now walking off on his own. So that's good news here.
Yeah, so Kevin Allwood, that was. So he's walking off the field under his own power.
From the 5-yard line, St. Mary's runs a run around left end and into the end zone for their first touchdown. And it's Abraham Toe taking the handoff and running it in from 5 yards out.
Bill, that looked awful easy, that drive down there. So, I mean, I'm just wondering whether St. Mary's is back in this ball game here. I know there's not a lot of time left. 21-6, they got to get a quick stop and get the ball back.
Run by Toe puts them on the board. 21-6.
We just got some stats provided by Matt Roy, who is here covering the game for Central Massachusetts.
Hold on here, Tim. We got the two-point conversion attempt going on for St. Mary's here. And this is the run to the left side, and they are stood up.
Ooh, no, said he's in.
He's in. Two-point conversion.
So he got driven back, which I thought he didn't make it in either, but the side judge, again, immediately, as he got driven back, signaled there was a good 2 points.
That's number 9, Brumfield, with the 2 points.
Okay, so Marcus Atkin is now 7-13 on the afternoon, 107 yards, 2 interceptions.
Can you give me that one more time?
7-13, 107 yards.
Okay.
And that brings the score to East Bridgewater 21 and St. Mary's 8 with 7:10 to go in the fourth quarter here. This is going to be a key defensive stand now if St. Mary's is going to have a chance at all here. They got to stop East Bridgewater, and they can't got to stop them right away.
Well, with 7:10 and again, the way that East Bridgewater has moved the ball the last 2 times they've had it. You're going to have to go onside kick. You're going to hope to bounce it off of somebody. Get the ball immediately back in your possession. And again, use the pass. You know you got a guy who can throw the ball. Now you're going to have to flood the zone. Get the receivers out there.
Well, also the wind. We get the wind factor. So they're going to be kicking in the wind. So we're going to have that flutter again. So we'll wait and see what happens. East Bridgewater has nine guys up on the line.
Yeah, we got to see an onside kick here from George Freeman here. Freeman will kick off for St. Mary's with 7:10 to play. And it's ground ball kick. One hopper fielded at the 49 cleanly by East Bridgewater. So no problem there. Corey, the guy that caught the pass for their last touchdown, fields that kickoff. So it'll be 1st and 10 for them at the 49, their 49.
Yeah, that ball stayed up in the air real nice. That was like a little soft line drive to the shortstop, just cradled it in.
Yep.
And again, hit the ground. Again, you're in great field position. You got half the field to score a touchdown. And again, now it's all about ball control and eating the clock up for East Bridgewater.
You got to think, even though they send two receivers to the left and one to the near side right, that this will be run plays here for them here. In the backfield, the running back is Ben Ross with the quarterback. And Ross takes the handoff, starts right now, cuts up to, just gets back to the line of scrimmage. Ben Ross, the ball carrier, about a no-gainer here for him.
Yeah, he made a nice cutback deep in the backfield to get back to the line of scrimmage. He was going to be about to be dropped for about a 4-yard loss, and he just stopped dead in his tracks and cut left back up field and managed to again save any loss of yardage.
I wonder if Pat Snow got hurt there. We haven't seen him much at all here in the second half. So
yeah, because they've been running Ross exclusively,
right?
Yeah,
so he might have got banged up in the game. So. Three wideouts near side right, and again, this time it is Donahue, the ball carrier. Big Joe Donahue, 5'9", 185-pounder, basically gets a yard or so out over midfield, down to the St. Mary's 49, 2-yard gain there. So it's third down and maybe eight, and over 6 minutes to play.
This is going to bring up a key third down. St. Mary's got to stop him right here. Coming up to 6 minutes to go in the game. This is a big play for St. Mary's.
Yeah, Kemp Sakowicz on that last tackle for St. Mary's, again, creating this third and long.
One wide out to the near side right, two far side left, and the quarterback, Levangi, out of the shotgun, keeps it, rolls left side, wants to pass on the run, the fly, the catch, Plunkett. At the 45, down to the 30, still going, breaks a tackle, 20, 10, and in for a touchdown.
Broken tackles again, not wrapping up along the sideline once the pass was complete. And again, he just found a small little seam heading to the sideline, guys, that Levante was able to just thread that ball in nicely, and then it was all individual effort from there, breaking 3-4 tackles. And again, St. Mary's poor execution on the tackles. You can see it. There's one, again, no arms there, second one. And again, then it was Katie by the door. And again, could this be the icing on the cake for East Bridgewater? Again, putting more separation between themselves and the Spartans.
Yeah, it was a short gainer. It looked like, and here's the point after kick. That's up, and Trask is perfect on the afternoon here. Trask with another one. And now it's 28-8.
Well, not what St. Mary's needed. They had him third and long. And again, the little rollout and the receiver just downfield 8-10 yards just slides into that into a gap in the defense. And again, a perfect pass by Levante.
But more importantly, a great run by Plunkett. How many times are we going to talk about Plunkett? Yeah. He had a big pass interception early in the game. He has a touchdown here. He's a great student. He's a leader of the team. If I'm not mistaken, he may be one of the captains.
Co-league player of the year, too, in their league. So he's the real deal.
And Levante's only a sophomore.
And he beat out a quarterback that they thought might be the starting quarterback for this team. Levante just came on in preseason and took the job.
The other thing, too, I'm very impressed with preparation here. St. Mary's has obviously had a great season. They're a great staff of coaches. It's a great program. It's a great school. And East Bridgewater is just kind of like dissecting them right now. And I have to be fair to East Bridgewater. As much as I want, honestly, St. Mary's to win here, East Bridgewater comes in prepared. They've obviously done some film work, Timmy. They're well coached. And they're on top here 28-8 with 5:38 to go in the ball game here.
The turnovers have killed St. Mary's today. There's no doubt about that.
Little chop kickoff rolling all the way down to Brumfield at the 26, and he returns at 2 or 3 yards. That's it on the return. So St. Mary's will start well into their own territory, shy of the 30 with 5:33 to play in this morning's game. It's the Division 2A, 3A Super Bowl game right now. East Bridgewater and St. Mary's, with the Vikings of East Bridgewater leading 28-8 with 5:33 to play in the game. Later this afternoon, here on MSO News Sports, it will be the 3A game, Marblehead versus Falmouth, 3:30 kickoff right here with Rick Moore and Paul Ingram here on MSO News Sports.
You know, St. Mary's had two fumbles that led directly to East Bridgewater touchdowns.
Wide out each way for St. Mary's High School. Quarterback Atkins throws out on the right. It's incomplete. Receiver went down on the pass. Looked like it was a little low as well. He might have fallen down to Johnson because the pass was a little off. Quick pass out on the right side. But, you know, there again, you look at that, and there was coverage right there. I don't even if he had caught the ball, I think it would have been wrapped up near the line of scrimmage.
You know, Tim, you make a good point. You just can't turn the ball over in a championship game and expect to win, especially with a team of the caliber of East Bridgewater or anybody that comes here with a Super Bowl. And it's too bad, but things happen like that, and it's just the way things go.
But it's interesting. East Bridgewater has four turnovers themselves. One fumble led to the interception led to the St. Mary's touchdown.
Here's Abraham Toe taking a handoff. He gets it out over the 30, shy of the 35. He'll be close to a first down on the spot. In fact, no, he's still 3 yards short of the first down. So it'll be a third down here in about three yards or so for St. Mary's.
It's hard to believe it was 7-0 at halftime. Now all of a sudden it's 28-8.
Yeah. It's the offenses have opened up a little bit more. Certainly for East Bridgewater, they combined the run and the pass much more effectively than St. Mary's.
Hey, quarterback Atkins bounces out to the left side. He's out to the 40 and up for the first down. So a tough little run by quarterback Marcus Atkins.
Yeah, what they need to do every time they get to the sideline, they got to get out of bounds, stop that clock.
Which they did with 4:44 to play as he ran to the near sidelines, left side.
I mean, I think it's time to start looking at the season and the success that St. Mary's has had this year. What a great season for them. They win the Catholic Central League, which is a real tough football league. They go undefeated. They come down here. And hats off to Matt Durgan and his staff for the great job they've done this year.
They have. They've had a great run. They had a strong playoff run. They here's Atkins in trouble, and he's sacked back at the 30. I think they'll spot it back at the 28, as a matter of fact. And that'll be a big loss there for the Spartans as Atkins is trying to throw, and it keeps the clock running as well.
Yeah, he couldn't find an open receiver. Everybody was covered, and it was number 33, the linebacker, Rosario, who finally chased him down and dropped him for that big loss.
And, you know, St. Mary's has a lot of returning players coming back next year, too. I know I think they lose Johnson, but they have a lot of players coming back, and, you know, they'll be back here again.
Well, Johnson's a junior.
Oh, right.
Atkins is the senior in this group.
So and Toe's a senior.
Toe's a senior.
Brumfield is a junior. So they've got a lot of key players coming back for next year.
Here's Atkins screening it out on the right side. The catch is made by Silvestri, running right and out of bounds. Short gainer, though. He only picked up about 4 yards, and it was a second down and, about 20 for them.
That's the first time we've seen that formation in that play, and look how well executed defensively by East Bridgewater. They had three or four tackles around the ball, so obviously they've seen that, and here we talk about preparation again. As the clock ticks down, 3:25 remaining here this morning at Gillette Stadium, 28-8 East Bridgewater Vikings over the St. Mary's Spartans.
Yeah, and certainly, there were breakdown on tackles on two of the East Bridgewater touchdown runs. They didn't wrap up. They just tried to knock the player down. But give the runners credit. They're tremendously shifty. They're always moving and presenting a very small target.
And they fumble in the backfield on this exchange. And there it's picked up by Donahue. Run down to the 5. Run down and into the end zone for a touchdown.
He was not going to be denied on that particular defensive play. His second defensive touchdown of the day. He dragged the St. Mary Spartan about the last 4 yards, determined to get into the end zone.
That might be a Super Bowl record, recovering a fumble twice and returning for a touchdown. Donnie, who returned the first one, 69 yards for the touchdown, the opening score, and now he returns one again to kind of really seal the lid on the coffin here this morning at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, he gets the first score that way, and he gets possibly the last score that way with 3:14 to play in today's game. They tried the second handoff, and it was fumbled in the backfield. A little razzle-dazzle by St. Mary's, and a fumble, and Donahue picks it up, and now the point after kick by Trask coming up to the uprights to our near end here. Kick is up, looks strong, and it is no good. Wide right, apparently.
I was just going to say, if he makes this, that might be a record for PATs made by a kicker.
Well, you look at the score here today, gentlemen, and we certainly did not expect a blowout, as it's turned out to be here, 34-8. And it was a very close game the first half, even though neither team particularly played well. But here we stand with 3:14 to go in the fourth quarter, and it's East Bridgewater leading 34-8.
Yeah.
Last few minutes have taken a while here to tick off here, and again, we have there was a game. The next game, I think, was scheduled at 11 o'clock, right?
Yep.
And here we are, a little after 11 now. Great to have you with us here on this Super Saturday here on MSO News Sports. Bill Newell, Tim Kearns, and John Squire is with you here from Gillette Stadium. Later on today, it's the Marblehead-Falmouth game, Division 2A game. Should be a great contest. Two teams having fantastic seasons, and it's all coming to a head here later on this afternoon, and it's right here on MSO News Sports. And do check back on the website for our post-game comments and videos that we might be able to get up there today here on the website.
Billy, it looks like fans starting to file in for the next game. I can see people waiting to get the seats.
A one-hopper to Brumfield, fielded at the 26-yard line, run back over the middle, out to the 40, 45, still going, but smothered about at the 48. That's called on a kickoff return, bend but don't break, and they let him go out to the 48. I won't say let him go out to the 48, but they covered him up just shy of midfield.
Well, you know, as John, you mentioned, you can't turn the ball over as many times as St. Mary's did today and expect to be successful. That's three turnovers that have resulted directly into touchdowns for East Bridgewater.
Well, it certainly wasn't a typical St. Mary's Day game. I mean, St. Mary's has not played like this all season. Give credit to East Bridgewater. Certainly their preparation, their defense has a lot to do with it, but things happen. You certainly don't want it to happen in your last football game of your high school career. And once again, I can't say enough about the great program that Matt Durgan runs over at St. Mary's. They've had nothing to be ashamed of. They've had a great season. They've won the Catholic League Championship this year. They did not win that last year. Fenwick beat them on Thanksgiving. They beat Fenwick this year to clinch it outright, and they just have had a great season, and hats off to them and the entire staff. And you know what? They have a lot of kids coming back, so we hopefully will see them again down here very short future.
You know, and there's only one team that can walk out of here the winner today, and you hope that you're the team that is able to do that, but there's a lot of things that have to go right. There's a lot of things that have to go into in your favor. You have to execute. You have to make the fewest mistakes. This is the game, literally, guys, where the team that made the fewest mistakes, and there were mistakes on both teams, wins the game.
So it'll be a first and 10 for East Bridgewater at their 48, leading here 34-8 with 3 minutes, 7 seconds to play. And the quarterback, I think, just keeps it and dives it into the line to get the clock running. But when you look at this game, this is what's odd about the game, is that if you were Matt Durgan and you said, I would not give up a touchdown to our East Bridgewater Super Bowl opponent in the first half on a drive, you would say, hey, I'll take that outcome. And that was the 7-0 score at the half. They got the 68-yard or 62-yard fumble recovery and for a touchdown score. And if you figure I'm going to give the ball to them on my goal line practically and not allow a score in the first moment of the game, I'd say I'd be pretty happy with that outcome too, but you just can't dig yourself into a hole against a team like an East Bridgewater, which is just solid from player 1 to player 11 out there.
Yeah, and you know, we just saw the last play run, and it was a sweep to the left, and all 11 East Bridgewater players were there at the point of the tackle.
You know, also going further, Bill, on that point is that, and it's a great point, St. Mary's outgained them 108 to 44 yards the first half. So, as you said, going into halftime, you feel comfortable just going in losing 7-0.
And to give East Bridgewater their due, come the second half, they completed two drives. One, a short drive for scores, and then it was then they were on their way. Here's the quarterback, back to pass, firing down on the right side, Atkins, and over the shoulder catch, I think it's Johnson, just outside or inside the 35.
There's that same fly route, or flag, if you want to call it, route, where he just goes out deep as he can to the sidelines, and Marcus puts the ball in there nicely. He's had three of those throughout the game. That's probably been their best play, Tim.
You know, it really has been, which again kind of begs the question, why did you not go to that more often, put them on, just send them one side or the other, and how much of an impact did losing Cross make in the passing game for St. Mary's?
It'll be a first down just inside the 35, ball at the 34-yard line, 34-8 the score, wing in motion, toe taking the handoff off the right side to the 30, down to the 25. So toe stays in bounds with 1:06 to play in today's game.
I wouldn't be surprised if Matt Durgan brings his we'll wait and see what happens. They want to get some more points on the board, but I wouldn't be surprised if he puts some subs in, but maybe not. He's a class act, so.
Ball at the 26-yard line, and this is a run to the left side. Johnson struggling to get around left end and cannot do so. Stop there at about the 26, Johnson.
Again, team speed, flying to the ball at the point of attack, getting penetration through the lead blockers of St. Mary's, forcing the running backs to go wider and wider and wider, just allowing more pursuit to get to the point of the ball.
And gang tackling. Gang tackling. They get their gang tackling. More than one person's put their head on the ball. So they come as a good, proven defensive unit.
Very, very good unit.
14 seconds to play. Snap from center. And the Atkins is looking to pass, rolling out right side, still rolling, scrambling now back to the near side left, and he's taken down back out at the 40 with 2 seconds left. Do they call a timeout or let the clock run down? That's it, I believe. Yeah, time is out, and that's our final score, 34-8. And the men will be back, Tim and John, with our post-game comments just ahead here on MSONewsSports.com.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
For team uniforms and your business's corporate apparel, choose Sarkisian Sportswear Route 1 South in Peabody. Why Sarkisians? It's quality. Owner Sarkis Sarkisian.
Quality is not only the type of apparel you get and the cleanliness and the professionalism that's used in making that. The quality is in the customer service that we provide from the beginning to the end of the whole process of getting you the type of apparel or uniforms that you're looking for.
Sarkisian Sportswear, Route 1 South Peabody, SarkisianSports.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, I can understand the confusion you may be experiencing. TV, radio, and newspapers are simply filled with replacement window advertising, all promising everything under the sun and then some. At Moynihan Lumber, we offer no gimmicks, just quality products, competitively priced, sold to you by a professional salesperson who really knows what he's talking about. That's Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
All right, we are back here at Gillette Stadium, where St. Mary's has just fallen to East Bridgewater by a final score of 34-8. And John and I were just talking about some of the factors involved and the emotions that St. Mary's must be feeling right at this moment. And John, we did talk about where they were going to do the award ceremony, and it looks like they are going to do it underneath the stadium in the main concourse, because St. Mary's is filing up the stairs to that area, and East Bridgewater is making the way there as well, coming across the field. And the spot where we thought they might do it is, I don't know, doesn't look like the spot where they normally have done it
looks like it's going to be around the 25-yard line behind when we came in this morning on the main concourse. Both teams going over there now.
Okay, but so what went wrong for St. Mary's?
Well, you know something? Things started right away when they started losing control of the football in the first half, Tim. We talk about turnovers, and that's exactly what happened. Let's look at the stats for the first half. I mean, East Bridgewater had 44 total yards. And other than, and the way they scored was on a third down 70-yard fumble return by Joey Donahue of East Bridgewater. That was the only scoring in the first half. So St. Mary's really outplayed East Bridgewater the first half. But here again, they shot themselves in the foot. If you remember, they fumbled, then they had a couple big stands defensively. They did not let East Bridgewater score offensively, and then East Bridgewater came out as a completely different team the second half, and we really saw why they're here. They opened up their offense, they started throwing the ball, they running the ball. They were very conservative the first half. We talked about that. Bill, you and myself talked about that, and what happened was they showed their full arsenal, and St. Mary's just couldn't handle today. And that's today. So, you know, it's a disappointing loss. It's a disappointing way to end the season, but nothing to be ashamed of. A great season, a lot of players coming back, and St. Mary's has a lot to hang their heads high on, and Coach Durgan and his staff did a great job this year.
Yeah, they certainly have. Bill and I did one of their first games of the season at Manning Field, and they displayed all their talents. I believe they played, might have been Wakefield. And again, they put the full show on view for everybody. You had Atkins throwing down the sidelines several times to Calvin Johnson. But at the same time, they went over the middle a number of times. And that's something that they didn't do today. They didn't go over. They didn't test the middle of the East Bridgewater defense. They didn't get those linebackers, force those linebackers to move back into more coverage and then run out of a passing formation to try to get penetration in the line, get to that second layer that much quicker, and then have some open field to run in.
Another thing that's difficult, too, is when you've had so much success with that tight wing T offense, you tend to stay with your bread and butter, what
yes.
got you here, and that's exactly what they did. Obviously, East Bridgewater felt they could stop that, and they did, because every time St. Mary's went to that wide set, or the pro set, if you will, and sent Johnson to the flat, or out to the flag, or towed to the other way, or in a couple cases they looked across for a pass and so forth, they were successful. So, I mean, they didn't really want to go away from what got them there. They fell behind eventually in the second half, and now they're bread and butter. They have to go away from that, and they're really not a passing team, even though they have some success. They're more that wing tee, tight wing tee, reverse one side, reverse back, up the middle from tackle to tackle, and obviously East Bridgewater was prepared for that.
Yeah, they really were. They played tight to the box with their linebackers. They had excellent flow. They almost did St. Mary's to throw the ball. They were playing up so tight and again sticking to your game plan. But the lateral speed and the total team coverage that East Bridgewater was able to execute throughout the entirety of the game. Yeah, you're always going to give up a pass play here or there or a run play here or there. But consistently they made the stops, and they were in the backfield chasing people.
You know, that's a great point. The lateral pursuit by East Bridgewater, more than one player, three or four ball players on putting their hat on the football. They seemed to be, it wasn't very seldom did you see one-on-one tackle by the defensive
right.
secondary. Also, a bend-but-break defense. Yeah, they had a couple long passes to Johnson, but they weren't touchdowns.
Right.
They were 25, 30 yards, and then they regrouped and they held St. Mary's. So, I mean, that's fine. From 20 to 20, they say what counts is in the red zone. And St. Mary's was not in the red zone much in the second half.
No, and you know, you can draw the comparison to the Patriots. They bend, you know, but they give up the third fewest points in the league because they don't give up touchdowns. They'll give up field goals. They have, you know, what's the average points a team gets? 17 points? With the offense they have, they can score 21, and at the end of the day, you walk out with the win. So it doesn't matter how many points that, you know, you give up. If you're playing good defense, how many yards you give up between the 20s, as you said, it's how many yards you give up between the 20 and the goal line.
Exactly. Let's recap the scoring here a little bit. A very sloppy first half. Neither team put much together offensively, but with 4:48 to go in the second period, Joe Donahue returned a fumble recovery, 69 yards, 70 yards for a touchdown, and Trask kicked the extra point. It was 7-0 with 4:48 to go in the half. It ended that way, 7-0. As we talked about at halftime, we were hoping that St. Mary's would come out and be able to hold East Bridgewater and put together an offensive drive, but that did not happen. East Bridgewater used up almost 6.5 minutes in the third quarter, a 72-yard drive capped by a Liam Levanci 2-yard quarterback option. The kick was good, and East Bridgewater was up 14-0. Towards the end of the third quarter, St. Mary's was driving, shot themselves in the foot again, fumbled the ball, gave it back to East Bridgewater, and East Bridgewater once again cashed in on that. This time, Liam Levanci kept another fake quarterback dive, and he threw a 27-yard pass, touchdown good to Michael Corey, 27 yards away, and the kick was good, and was 21-0. That's how the third quarter ended, 21-0, and St. Mary's in the fourth quarter finally got on the scoreboard. But unfortunately, it was a little bit too little too late. With 7:10 to go in the third quarter, St. Mary's scored on a 5-yard run by Bram.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
The Lynn Museum, located at 590 Washington Street in the heart of Lynn's emerging downtown cultural district, offers a unique perspective on history as told through the experiences of one of America's most consequential cities. Come this fall and see our newest exhibits, Industry and Craft, People at Work in Lynn, and Collecting for the Objects of Lynn. We're open Tuesdays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturdays, 9 to 1 p.m., or online at lynnmuseum.org.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Team up with The Daily Item at itemlive.com, your community information connection. The Daily Item features colorful, timely stories highlighting the North Shore. The new look page focuses on people, places, and things. The Item is presenting news in a user-friendly format. Don't miss any local news or reading features on your neighbors. Check out The Item today. It's all new every day. For home delivery, call 781-593-7700 or go to itemlive.com.
Honeydews, seasonal favorites, are finally here. Nothing says fall more on a crisp, cool morning than a hot pumpkin spice or maple cream coffee. Complement these coffee flavors with a tasty pumpkin muffin, deliciously sweet cranberry apple stick, or a freshly baked tart apple cider donut. Visit our locally owned and operated Honeydew Donut Shops located on the Linway and Western Avenue in Lynn, Eastern Avenue in Malden, Canal Street in Salem, and Meridian Street in East Boston. And experience Honeydews, flavors of the fall, today.
And the national anthem is being performed on the field by, not sure whose side. It could be Hanover. But a
rousing, I think it's Grafton's Grafton High School band.
It's Grafton's, okay. Well, we had a choice of one or two, and and I picked A, and it was B. Okay, and as both teachers, we know that's a 50% pass rate. Well, actually, it's 50%, and I didn't pass the test.
Can't put by anything you, Tim.
This we're not going to be covering this game at all. Again, we're just looking back over the same as East Bridgewater 34-8 game today. And again, a lot of disappointment on the part of St. Mary's. I knew that they would have come in here hoping to play a little bit better, execute a little bit better. They had breakdowns on a couple of the touchdowns by East Bridgewater. Certainly, they're going to look back and go, you know, the turnovers absolutely killed any potential drives that they may have had. But again, you had East Bridgewater's turnovers. One turned into a touchdown for St. Mary's. But as you said, the defense was just the difference in the end for East Bridgewater.
They were, and you know what? They had four turnovers themselves, if I'm not mistaken, maybe five. But the thing is, it's not a 12-8 game, a 12-6 game where you can say that one turnover killed us. It was a variety of things, and most importantly, it was East Bridgewater coming here this morning and really performing in the second half. I'd have to say their offense certainly moved the ball. I'm not going to. I have a little different take on it. I and it's just I don't feel the the turnovers was what really hurt St. Mary's as much as the performance and the execution of the offense in the second half from East Bridgewater. Certainly their defense played well all day, first half and second half, but their performance of their offense in the second half, opening things up, as you said, and carrying the football, running the football hard, and putting points on the board is certainly noteworthy.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that has to be taken into consideration, you know, did Coach Tarpey, was that his game plan? Play conservative, see how we're going doing against St. Mary's. Are we holding our own? You know, and let's stay conservative, and then let's bring out the whole offense in the second half. Let's sort of maybe lull them into this is how we're going to play this game, and then come out and just open it up, spread the field, and they were very successful doing that. Again, mixing in the run, mixing in the sweeps. They didn't go up inside a whole lot because they had no real success there, but they found more success again sweeping out to the right and to the left, and then dumping the ball down the middle on the passes and getting that quick one step drop and a quick flare out, and they were just beating St. Mary's. And you made the point during the game is that when they threw that ball out into the flat, there was a blocker downfield running interference for them that allowed them to get 7, 8, 9, 10 yards on each of those pass plays.
You know, and that's college execution, so they did a lot of things right. Well, it ended up East Bridgewater 38 and St. Mary's 8, and we wish them nothing but congratulations and best luck for next season and the fall sports. But let's turn a little bit to this afternoon's ball game for our crew coming in. We got Marblehead coming in undefeated against a very strong Falmouth team. Both teams undefeated coming in. Both teams have a lot of weapons. It should be a very interesting ball game, Tim.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, that their effectiveness at running the triple option. And Phil Stacey in the Salem News today wrote, the key to Marblehead is going to be tackling. And short tackling. It's going to be about reading your defensive assignment, maintaining the discipline, not getting out of your lane, not opening up those cutback lanes for the Falmouth runners. And again, once that guy's in front of you, you're going to have to wrap him up low and help. Got to arrive quickly to put the runner down.
You know, and the key, that's a great point. That's the key to the football game, as far as I see it. And I think it's going to be the best football game of the day here. The key is, in the triple option, defensively, you have a specific assignment. If you blow that specific assignment, many times it's a touchdown. Yep. Somebody has a quarterback, somebody has a pitch man, and somebody has that runner straight ahead. I mean, it seems simple, but it's very tough defensively to stop. And Bill and I talked about this the other day. If you can't carry through your assignments, you need gang tackling, but you need first man staying in his zone and covering defensively that triple option.
Yeah, and what are you hoping to do by playing your zone and forcing that runner to check up to try to find another alley or another avenue to advance the ball? Now your defense is able to collapse on them, and you're going to limit the forward progress to minimal yards. You want to get that team in third and long.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about Marblehead's offense and the offensive weapons they have. Marblehead certainly has, Coach Roloff was saying that many years in the past he's had one or two outstanding ball players. This is a real team effort. They've got in there, they're early in the season. Their goal was not just to win the Northeastern Conference. Their goal was to win the Super Bowl. Not to compete, but to win. Not to show up just to play, but to come here and win. And they have, and the reason they've done it is they have a real team attitude. Whether you're a star in the paper, whether you're putting points on the board, it's a complete team effort from the 50th, 56th player all the way up to the first player. And they have many offensive weapons, Tim.
They certainly do. But they're going to be handicapped a little bit today by the fact that Harry Craig is on crutches. He got hurt on Thanksgiving against Fenwick. He will not be playing in today's game. I saw him here at the field with the captains on media day. I don't think anybody is more disappointed than Harry Craig.
Absolutely. I was at that game. And incidentally, it was a Swampscott Marblehead game.
Swampscott Marblehead.
And I was there. And when he got, and he was having a great game defensively and offensively. And what happened was in the second quarter, he went out midway through the second quarter. And I thought he got himself off the field. So I just thought he had maybe a high ankle sprain. That was the initial diagnosis. But what happens is he broke the ankle. So he's out for the season, unfortunately. And he was a very valuable part of that offense. And I want to tell you, I saw Marblehead their first first game of the season, the middle part of the season towards the end, and then against North Reading, and he was getting better and better each week. And Drew Galley, who was a great quarterback, liked him as a target, as well as many other players too, but he was turning out to be their number one go-to guy offensively in the passing game.
You know, and as the fullback, and they run that modified spread, and having a fullback, and he's a good-sized kid, having him able to be able to flare out of the backfield as that last option for the quarterback when nobody's open downfield, he's outlying in the flat, he's just waiting for the ball, and then to take on the safety or the cornerback one-on-one, and you've got that size and strength advantage, more than likely, and most opportunities, you're going to pull through that first tackle unless the guy, again, is textbook on you. You're going to get down the field. You're going to move the chains. And that's the option that he gave you if he was the second or third choice. But even as the first choice, big, strong, powerful runner, now you got to find a way to compensate for that. And you mentioned about the defense. Marblehead has not practiced or played against a team that runs a triple option. So in a very short time period, Coach Rudloff has had to try to coach these guys up about the discipline of playing against this particular offense.
That's a key word, discipline, when you play defense against that. I know he was concerned. They spent a lot of time. They did go down and scout him. They did see him. They saw him on film, but nothing like scouting him. And I know he came away very impressed. Let's talk a little bit about their offense now. And let's talk about their running game now. Marblehead's running game certainly was part of their success, a huge part of their success for the season, Tim. We have in the backfield, they have a real strong running back in the Lopez kid who hurt his ankle late during the season, and he was hobbled a little bit Thanksgiving morning. In fact, they held him out. But they have a real strong running game. Tim, what are your feelings towards Marblehead's running game?
Well, it's so diverse. They have, you know, unfortunately, you know, with Craig getting hurt, you kind of lose your power back. But if Lopez is back and healthy, we did the game, Bill and I did the game against Danvers, which was an extremely entertaining game. It was, neither team wanted to lose that game. I mean, these guys were playing all out to win, and it was an amazing physical game. But Lopez just has that first gear. His first gear is actually third gear.
And also, Sam Frontero had a great Thanksgiving day. He had two or three touchdowns. He's a real power back. His second touchdown, or third, I think it was, that put Marblehead up 20-0 at the time. He broke a tackle. He got hit square in the shoulders at the 8-yard line, broke a tackle, and carried the defensive back from Swampscott into the end zone for a touchdown. Sam Frontero, a running back for Marblehead, is certainly a key in their offense, especially their power game.
Yeah, I don't think he got the notoriety that Lopez and Craig did during the course of the season. Kind of flew under the radar. I mean, people who watch Marblehead every week certainly knew about him. But I think he flew under the radar. This could be, again, with the injury to Craig, his opportunity to really step up and go out on a real high note as he is a senior and really, really make a mark here. Yeah, I think a lot of it is going to fall to him. He's going to have to take a lot of Craig's plays in this afternoon's contest.
And then we also have Manning Sears and Derek Marino, two real good receivers for Marblehead. So they're going to be keys in this afternoon's ball game against the Falmouth Red Raiders.
Yeah, you know, and again, the thing for as you know, Falmouth has a, you know, that tough offense. Marblehead is going to offer a very diverse offense. And you're going to have to be able to defend all of those aspects of the offense. You're going to have to defend the long pass, the intermediate pass, the pass to the flat. You've got a running back in Lopez who, once he gets to that second layer, which means you're going to really have to try to stop him at the line of scrimmage, he gets into the second layer, he's as shifty as anybody in the Northeast Conference or in the area, and he just continues to make plays. And then you've got to rely on Frontera to get to those tough shot yardages when you're in that situation.
And the key is going to be Marblehead has a lot of weapons. They're going to have to exploit the defense of Falmouth, and they're going to have to use all their weapons certainly to be successful.
I wouldn't be surprised if Coach Willett comes out throwing right off the bat to get them backed up, to get them off the line of scrimmage, to open up his running game. We're going to bring Matt Roy in from, what paper is it, Matt?
Guardian.
the Gardner News. For those of you who aren't familiar, Matt, a longtime writer for the Lynn Item,
your old buddy on these broadcasts.
Yes, he joined us, and my old baseball broadcast partner before I went to the coaching sidelines again. We're going to jump back and a little look at the St. Mary's offense. Matt, you just came in and gave me wow.
I think we're all surprised.
Yeah, not expecting that particular outcome. I know you're going to have stats for us, so let's go to the St. Mary's and then the East Bridgewater stats, because the second half really told the tale of the tape.
Oh, I think the biggest stat is six turnovers for St. Mary's compared when you turn the ball over six times. I don't care who you're playing. You're probably not going to win.
Yeah, and when two of them turn into directly at the touchdowns, okay, and actually one... Three resulted in touchdowns, two directly into touchdowns.
I mean, you could see right from the start that something was off with St. Mary's, I felt like, but that East Bridgewater defense was better than I think everybody thought they were going to be.
Now, John mentioned that point several times, is that, again, they were quick, they got penetration, they had lateral speed, they had solid initial tackling, they had gang tackling as a follow-up. St. Mary's really didn't get a lot of breathing room this morning.
I mean, they're a team that lived on a lot of big plays all year. They never made any big plays in this game,
for the most part. Yeah, and even the, you know, your deep passes from Atkins to
Johnson,
you know, were the distance of the pass, and then he was driven out of bounds. So, again, East Bridgewater gave up the big play, but was quick to react, quick to respond, and then they really tighten up the chin straps and stop St. Mary's from advancing further down the field.
And I mean, for as bad as St. Mary's played in the first half, they were only down 7-0.
But they really didn't play badly. You know, this was like two heavyweights or two middleweights standing in the middle of the ring, just pounding each other. You know, and neither team was giving the other any breathing room.
I mean, the third quarter, you look at it, East Bridgewater ran 18 plays, St. Mary's ran one.
Yeah.
That just turned, the whole game turned right on that first drive in the third quarter.
Yeah, you know, and I mentioned, you know, East Bridgewater had 44 yards of offense in the first half. Their first drive in the second half goes 30 yards further. They go almost 70 yards. So they immediately, once they opened up the playbook, began to really assert themselves on St. Mary's. And then forced, people would say, well, looks like they... St. Mary's was sort of depressed a little bit. They were trying to. They were maybe a half a step faster than they needed to be in trying to make plays, and that resulted in turnovers.
St. Mary's is forced to do what's forced into a tempo they don't like to play. They don't need. They are not a team built to come from two and three scores behind with their offense. And when Marcus Atkins has to throw the ball 16 times, you usually St. Mary's is not going to win a game a lot of times throwing it that much.
Yeah, but with the pressure defense, I made the point that with the way that East Bridgewater was playing the defense, playing the run, getting so quickly. I thought that Matt might have opened it up a little bit more, and he never went over the middle. Never sent over the middle. Everything was to the sideline. He didn't challenge them in the middle to try to push those linebackers back to open up the running lanes.
I mean, this is the number that'll tell you whether this game was. When's the last time you saw Calvin Johnson 8 carries for negative 34 yards?
Yeah, that's...
When's the last time that happened?
Yeah, but and that's credit to, you know, the East Bridgewater defensive line and linebackers. The defensive line got pushed and created gaps. Linebackers came in and filled in very quickly. I mean, they were playing right behind them. There was no real breathing space for the St. Mary's offense.
And when they did, and as we were talking to Matt down there after the trophy presentation, he said, anytime they got momentum, shot themselves in the foot, turned the ball over. Yeah. And every time they'd have a drive going, they gave the ball away.
Yeah, and that's the thing I think they're going to really reflect on and go, look at all the opportunities we took away from ourselves, six turnovers, three lead directly to touchdowns. No, that are not the responsibility of the defense. The defense gave up 13 points.
Correct.
You know, the offense surrendered 21 points.
The defense gave up 199 yards of total offense in this game.
Yeah, and that's against a very good Bridgewater. They gave up 44 in the first half. Yeah, but again, credit Coach Tarpey and his offensive coordinators. They just said, okay, what do we got in the game? In the first half, didn't work. We had a couple turnovers. If we cut the turnovers over, what can we do to change the momentum, change the direction of this game? And they found it.
You look at it, in the first half, East Bridgewater had two first downs. One was by penalty.
Yeah.
In the third quarter alone, they had six first downs and 100 yards of offense. You talk of the halftime adjustments. Oh, wow. There it is.
Yeah. And again, you know, St. Mary's come out. You know, the first play of the second half, when they get the ball back after East Bridgewater's touchdown, they fumble the ball.
Yep.
You know, so again, you know, did they press it a little bit more, trying to make plays, and they were just off on their plays? You know, could very well happen. And we've got a drive and a fumble recovery down on the field
in front of Grafton.
Okay, Grafton recovered or Grafton fumbled?
Grafton recovered. I mean, I know, John, you have the same stats I do, and it was just a game that for a half it was like, who was going to take the big heavyweight punch? And then once East Bridgewater came out that third quarter, that first drive took it right down the field. You felt momentum all of a sudden. It's gone for St. Mary's and all the way over to the East Bridgewater side.
You're right, Matt. You know, and we talked that the first half, St. Mary really survived and had to feel good. Bill and I and Tim talked about it. Had to feel good going in at halftime, only being down 7-0. Really never got on track. So we were hoping for a stalled drive and St. Mary's starting to get back in the ballgame. But they used almost, what, 6.5 minutes up in that drive in the third quarter?
5:40 of the first.
5:40,
right,
and they drove the length of the field and they scored. And that was kind of like the eye-opener, or saying, okay, here we've arrived, we're ready to play, and now stop us.
But when's the last time St. Mary's fumbled six times and fumbled the ball four times?
Yeah, exactly. We talked about that earlier. St. Yeah. Mary's did not have any, very few turnovers in games throughout the season, I'm sure, in the coverage that you did and seeing everything that was going on. So it was just a very atypical game for the Spartans from St. Mary's.
You know, the turnover frequency was kind of amazing. St. Mary's fumbled. East Bridgewater fumbled. East Bridgewater had an interception. St. Mary's fumbled.
Yep.
St. Mary's had an interception. East Bridgewater had an interception. St. Mary's fumbled. St. Mary's had an interception. East Bridgewater had an interception. St. Mary's fumbled.
I'm looking at my stats here, and in the first half, all but two drives ended in a turnover.
Yeah,
by
exactly.
Either team. And that it's so.
You know, and I thought a real good sign was, if you remember, East Bridgewater had the ball at the half-yard line, and St. Mary's held them.
Yeah.
So
no
I'm
points.
Saying that's a great defensive stand, and the only time they scored was the mix-up in the backfield when Donahue went for 70 yards for the touchdown for the only score of the first half. So, I mean, it looked good for St. Mary's, but here again, kids are kids. They got their feet on the ground. They left the jitters in the locker room or anywhere else. They came out and showed what East Bridgewater, especially what they're really truly made of, and kind of just exploited a few of the defensive mismatches for the Spartans St. Mary's, and they just controlled the second half.
You speak of Mr. Donahue. How did you have a day in his life? Four fumble recoveries, two for touchdowns.
Well, you know, we were saying, I'm wondering if that's a Super Bowl record. Has anybody ever returned two fumbles here in the Super Bowl?
How about recovering four fumbles by one of them at the same
exactly,
player?
Exactly.
It's shocking to see that score, 34-8. I don't think anybody who was up here in this level or in the crowd expected 34-8.
Right, and I'm a big guy, half glass full. I mean, St. Mary's has nothing to be ashamed of. They've had a great season. They had a great run. They did very, very well even to get here. They had a tough schedule. They played from a tough competitive league, and they did a real good job. It just was not St. Mary's day today.
No, and you know, it meant it's, you know, somebody's got to walk out of here, the winner, the loser. You just hope that you go out, if you are the loser, that you've played your game. You know, you've played a clean game. You haven't given the game to the other side. And I think, again, the main regret of St. Mary's is going to be the fact that they gave so many opportunities to East Bridgewater, so many, you know, turnovers that led directly two touchdowns that really put them behind the eight ball and sort of took them out of their flow.
There was no flow by either team, really, for the most part, except
For the first half, no. It was two teams stuck in mud, and who's going to get out of it first? And East Bridgewater did with the beginning of the second half.
Now, I don't know if you got outside at all, but I was wondering if the wind factor had anything to do with the playing conditions out there, because we're inside. It's beautiful here.
It's cold.
But outside, it looks like it's cold, and the wind is really is blowing one way. Yep. And we could see that in some of the kickoffs going into the wind throughout the ball game.
Bill and I were just out there when they were doing the interviews, and it's a pretty steady wind out there, and it's chilly, so that ball has got to feel like a rock at some point to some of these kids.
And I'm sure you guys talked about this when I stepped out for a moment, but you look at the stats. The stats are pretty even. I mean, East Bridgewater had four turnovers also. Now, yeah, they had six for St. Mary's, but 192 yards, 176, 69 rushing yards, 48. I would have thought East Bridgewater had more than that. 123 yards passing, 128 yards passing. First downs, 9 for St. Mary's, 8 for East Bridgewater. Those are pretty even stats.
Yeah, you mentioned a telling stat there, though, John. If St. Mary's is throwing for 128 yards in a game, that's usually a sign that something's not going right for them, because it's not what their offense is predicated on.
You know, Matt, that's a great point, because Tim and I talked a little bit about that offense that they run, which is a tight wing tee offense. They're not used to being stopped in that offense, and they've had huge success. This team completely shut that offense down today for the most part.
We were talking about it upstairs that St. Mary's had never been behind all year in a game.
Yeah.
This was the first time all year they had to play catch-up. And once they got down 2 scores, 3 scores, you're taking everything away that they want to do. Control the ball, control the clock, grind out first downs. When they can't do that, East Bridgewater just sitting back there looking at chops going, we can rush the passer all we want now, because they're not running the ball on us.
Exactly. We talked about that through all the ball game. We were saying I didn't think that St. Mary's had been behind all year, let alone today. And they weren't, as you said, Matt, they weren't behind 7-0. They weren't behind 14-0. They were behind 21-0 before they put any points on the board. So they're not used to doing that. And that's tough for a team that likes to run the football.
Yeah, and East Bridgewater, again, we talked about how great the defense played, took away the middle of the field, where St. Mary's made their bread and butter, their running game.
Tackle to tackle.
There was nothing there for St. Mary's. They had one run by Silvestri early, and that was maybe like a 10, 12-yard game, and that was it.
And it was not one defender making a tackle. It was gang tackling, swarming to the ball, and playing great team defense.
I was going to say, how many times were there 3, 4, 5, 6 dark-colored shirts in the backfield waiting for those sweeps?
Exactly.
Yeah, they did. They got great penetration. But I do want to make note for St. Mary's, because two guys had a really outstanding day on the defensive line, especially, and that was 88 Patrick Henry and 58 his line mate Liam Reddy.
Surprise, surprise.
They had monster games for St. Mary's in stuffing on numerous occasions. Running plays by East Bridgewater. They also had the blocks on the pass, that they knocked down passes by staying tall, recognizing passes, getting up in the passing lane, getting their mitts up, and knocking the ball down. So I want to point out those two guys. We called their names a lot today, and everybody played hard. Everybody gave it their all. But I wanted to make note of those two guys in the trenches, who generally don't get a lot of the glory.
Overlooked, I think. Big momentum turn this game first in the first half when Matt Cross gets hurt. They're driving inside the 30-yard line, and he gets hurt, and all of a sudden, any momentum that they might have had, the air was taken right out of their balloon right there.
Well, another factor, too, even if they don't throw that much, and even that he has not had a lot of passes in the game, how that affected, we never really hit upon that, how that affected the team. They were obviously upset. One of your better players is hurt, a friend, a teammate, and that has to have some effect on you. You go in at halftime, try to regroup, but it's almost as if maybe some of them were really concerned and really upset by that, because that's your buddy getting hurt that you played with all season long.
And it kind of shifts your focus just a little bit from, you know, what the mission at hand is because of your concern. They said, for your friend. And while he only had one catch to that point, it was it's the option that he presented.
And he's a 6 foot, he's a 6 foot 7 blocker on your line.
Exactly.
Correct. You know, correct. And that might even be more valuable than his pass catching ability.
You know, and it's for the Pats, it's losing Gronk, who's a great blocker, who gets downfield, who, again, forces that defense to step back. If he was able to make one or two catches in that first quarter, if they'd gone to him, and again, they would now, East Bridgewater would have been forced to be more respectful. If he's beating your man one-on-one, you've got to slide somebody else over, which opens up another zone.
Matt, was there any report, any early indication on what you heard? I certainly don't want to give out false information, but we're more concerned about Matt than anything else, and we're just wondering. He's a real good basketball player. I'm sure you're aware of that.
You mentioned basketball.
Anything.
It seemed like, if people remember a couple years ago, Joe Fama breaking his leg during the regular season for the basketball team, it seemed like it was a kind of eerily similar to what happened with him with his leg. And judging by the way his leg was wrapped up when they took him off the field, you could see it was immobilized, it was in a cast, an air cast. You don't want to speculate, but it certainly did not look like he may not be around for basketball season from the looks of that.
And he's an integral part of Coach Brown's offense. I saw him play last year. I referee, and I saw him play. He was an eighth grader last year, and he's a freshman, and he's a valuable part of that. And, we wish him nothing but the best and hoping it's a quick recovery no matter what it is. And we just want you to get out there that we know we're thinking of him.
All right, we're going to break away. Bill, you want to do a
We're good, right?
Okay. All right. So we're gonna wrap up our coverage of this morning's St. Mary's East Bridgewater game. East Bridgewater again winning 34-8 over St. Mary's. I want to thank Matt Roy, formerly of the Lynn Item with the Gardner News.
Okay. You guys need to take a break for a few hours.
You know. So yeah, we are gonna take a break. We're gonna rest our voices. And we're going to come back this afternoon, probably.
We ain't going to be on time, I can tell you that.
No, we'll be a little behind. We're probably almost a half an hour behind schedule now.
It's 12 by 12 o'clock right now.
Due to the injuries, a couple of injuries during the game to an East Bridgewater and a...
And the fact that they didn't have any chains for the first 10 minutes before the game started.
Oh, that's good. So we've got to unlock the storeroom.
That was comical to watch before the game, by the way. They had no chains.
Nice. All right, so for Bill News, John Squires, Matt Roy, Rick, Paul, and anybody else that wants to be part of MSO News, I'm Tim Kearns. Thank you for listening. And we'll be back on this afternoon, probably around between 2 and 2:30, for our pregame for the Marblehead Falmouth game.